It's Friday!
Okay! Tokyo! South America! Australia! France! Germany! UK! Africa!
Here we go! Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Without a doubt, it is a banner evening this evening. All the streams are working as the streams are supposed to work. The high-quality White Rose stream, the low-quality White Rose stream, headon.live is as perfect as it always is. And for this third day of May 2019, I'd say that's off to a pretty respectable start. Of course, we always extend thanks at the beginning of the program for our subscribers. We have four for the third of the month. Gosh, it would be great to have 10 or something like that if any of y'all would care to jump in. Thank you to Janice, and thank you to Stephen, and thank you to John, and thank you to Gene and Ann across the pond. Thank you very kindly indeed. That's a tremendous help each and every evening. Tremendous help. And well, where do we find ourselves this evening? We find ourselves at the $300 mark for the 3rd of May, so it's sort of orderly and numerological and numerical and what have you. So, you know, 10 at 30, 30 at 10, 1 at 3, 2 at 150, 4 at 75, 8 at 37.50. Yeah, and after that, my head starts hurting. But that's where we—that's what we need to raise this evening, and we've got, of course, the PayPal link there at the contribute page at headon.live, where we live, which you can use if you'd like to be part of the merry little band that makes it possible for anybody to listen to this program who wants to. Okay. So that's where all of that stands. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and I guess a bit of a warning is in order at the beginning of the program. Thunderstorm started around here last night, and anytime there's a thunderstorm, there's a pretty good chance that the tired, rickety, antiquated, coal-fried Appalachian power grid won't hold up. Learned that the hard way earlier this afternoon. Paid property taxes on my on the vehicle so I could get my decal for the license plate. And went to get the license plate decal today, and while standing in line, a real intense thunderstorm blew through Fayetteville. Took out the power at the courthouse, so no decal. And then over on this side of the river, it hailed like a son of a gun. Yeah. Everything in the studio here is, of course, behind an uninterruptible power supply made possible by a member of our community. Thank you again, some more. And so, you know, nothing will just go and die, but there's not a lot of time. But there's just enough time left on these, the batteries on them, to get everything shut down, not continue a program. So if the power blinks, and usually it's the rule of threes. If it blinks three times, it's gone. And there's a possibility that could happen this evening. I hope it doesn't, but looking at the weather forecast, We've got about a 50-50 chance of thunderstorms throughout the remainder of the evening. And like I said, that doesn't bode well for a rickety grid run by a power company that puts all of its money into its shareholders' pockets instead of into the, like, say, a 21st century renewable, sustainable power infrastructure. But all that having been said, it's Friday on the front porch, which means that in about 54 minutes, 53 minutes or so, we will all merrily wander over to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves and gather around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable for the one of the most raucous, rollicking, and enjoyable conversations that takes place anywhere in the radio universe. So, you know, if you want to jump in, well, you go over to headon.live. At the main page there, there's a Skype link. It'll carry you into the group. Sparky will not be with us this evening. So I'll try to jump into the group and do the best I can. Let's see. We've already got folks. No, okay. We've already got folks popping into the chat room, or the Skype, into the Skype conversation. Again, go to headon.live, click the Skype link, and it'll carry you right to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. If you cannot negotiate Skype, of course, we have the stress line, and you can participate in the conversation that way, at least until the little gizmo drops its Bluetooth connection, and then, right. So, I think we've taken care of all the housekeeping. Now, where to start this evening? How about two stories from the world of anti-vaxxers? You know, every time I see an anti-vaxxer story, I can't help thinking now, that I always remember the fact that the anti-vax movement was also one of those places, it was one of those soft little pressure points where our huggable, lovable, cuddleable friends in Mother Russia inserted one of their pellets of poison into our body politic. Yeah. Interesting, isn't it, that one of the two places where measles is coming into the U.S. from is Ukraine. You know, little country where our huggable, cuddleable, lovable friends in Mother Russia just happen to be waging a dirty war. Now, Mother Russia would never do something like engage in germ warfare, would they? You're damn right they would. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it is what it is. From the Department of Irony, the goddess of irony, the news of a cruise ship owned by the Scientologists that has been quarantined in St. Lucia. I don't think it's a chi, I think it's a C. St. Lucia in the Caribbean, one of the most beautiful islands in the Caribbean. And, the Scientologists don't go in for much in the way of that. They may have science in their name, but no, not they're science. They're sciency the way Christian Scientists are sciency, which is to say, not at all. And so the Scientologists may be helping to spread the measles too. Remember, they don't. They also don't. They think that if they can just get control of their thetans, whatever a thetan is, that somehow or another they can not need medication. Yeah. So there's that. Then, on a more serious front, these anti-vaxxers are not nice people. They're not good people. They're not decent people. Witness the case of Kyle Mulica. Kyle Mulica is a freshman in the Colorado State House of Representatives. He was elected last November and took office this past January. And he came into politics from a previous career as an emergency room nurse. And having seen all manner of people in extremis in an ER there in the general Denver area, he thought he could bring some expertise to bear relative to this nation's desperate healthcare situation. And so early on, he was briefed by folks from the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. They told him that that state is right near the bottom in the whole country relative to the percentage of children in kindergarten who have had their vaccines for things like measles, mumps, rubella. Colorado. And he, as a healthcare professional, was concerned about that. And so, as a member of the legislature, he wanted to do something to rectify that, so that children, so that we can go get back the herd immunity that this war on science has helped to severely diminish. He's a Democrat. Kyle Mulica is. And so, among other things, he sponsored a bill that would strengthen the vaccination requirements for parents before they can send their children into the public schools. The Colorado House of Representatives passed Kyle Mulica's bill. The Colorado State Senate then, of course, killed it. Not encouraging that. No. The Democrats have a slight majority in the Colorado Senate. They scheduled 4 hours of hearing on the bill in the Senate. Then, and that was for Wednesday night passed. Okay. Then it all kind of fell apart with cries of foul and dirty politics. Yeah. Local and state health experts supported the bill. And no. Stephanie Wasserman from the Colorado Children's Immunization Coalition said, "Legislators have put politics over the health and safety of our children." The Senate Majority Leader, Steve Fenberg from Boulder, said Republicans were not willing to let the vaccine bill come to a vote without hours and hours of debate, which would have prevented us from delivering on priority bills. And Fenberg didn't want to use his power to limit debate for something like, you know, preventing a goddamned epidemic. But that's sort of beside the point. When word got out into the broader public world, of which of course includes stupid people, and by that I mean anti-vaxxers, well, Kyle Mulica felt the full force of their wrath. One anti-vaxxer emailed him comparing him to Nazi Dr. Josef Mengele. That email told him, "The world would be better if your home burned down with you and your family in it." Mm-hmm. Anti-vaxxers. Kyle Mullica said, "I've had plenty of civil discussions with people who disagree with me on the issue, and we should. That's how we make good policy, but leave my family out of it." Well, they won't do that, and they can't do that. Because they don't have a logical basis to stand on, and liberty is not any kind of an argument. You don't have less liberty because you can't get the goddamn measles. You don't have less freedom because you're immunized against the mumps. I mean, it really is, this is a near-perfect example of just how toxic our understanding of the First Amendment, freedom of religion, has become. You know, I've said for years that the First Amendment has become little more than a life support system for the for-profit religion industry. They may be technically not-for-profit within the IRS code, but it is, by God, a for-profit industry. Just as an example, you remember when, because we had the story here, you remember when Kenneth Copeland, that video came out showing him laughing his ass off over the jet that he got the rubes to buy him? Yeah? Remember that? Sure? Well, turns out Kenneth Copeland has had a nice little sit-down with the nitwit Nero. Yeah. And he's going to do everything in his power to deliver his evangelical weirdo base for Donald Trump in 2020. It's pretty well sickening. But that's, you know, that's how this all goes, I guess. But there, like I said, our fetishized vision of the First Amendment James in Illinois with a note. "Scientologist in Denver, circa 1979. They were harassing my wife, and one day I explained to the guy the science of how I was going to break my foot off in his ass." Yeah, I guess James's thetans were running wild or something like that. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. But no. Yeah, this is the fetishization of religion, and allowing it to trump good government, allowing it to supersede the needs of the nation, common sense, brains. Yeah, 47 of the 50 states in the union allow people to say, "No, I'm not going to get my child vaccinated because my God won't love us if my baby can't not get measles." Or something. There's another 17 states have personal belief exemptions. I believe that... No. Yeah, personal belief. So we put 330-some-odd million Americans at hazard because of the personal beliefs or the religious tenets of faith of some fucking idiots who think that their God won't like them if they can't get if their kids can't get preventable diseases. Polecats versus anti-vaxxers. Billable Rick says, in hearing this story about the horrible anti-vaxxer who sent an imprecatory email to Colorado's legislator, it occurred to me the following comparison is in order. What's a meaner creature, a rabid polecat or an anti-vaxxer? My vote is for the latter. Well, yeah. I mean, the rabid polecat acts only on its own behalf and acts only because it has been diseased. An anti-vaxxer literally is so sucked up inside their own sense of self and privilege that they don't give a fuck about 330 million other people. It's all about them. Yes. And apparently something similar is in effect in Connecticut. Darlene there sending me a note. Immunization rates in Connecticut show that 108 schools are below the 95% level. Darlene says, I've scheduled a primary care physician visit for next Tuesday. Among the things I'm going to discuss is getting revaccinated for measles. That makes me furious that I have to do this because of the cray-cray anti-vaxxers. Well, on the one hand, the cleverness of our cleverness as little primates is what allowed us to become what we consider to be human. But I guess there's a threshold, and it's kind of like herd immunity. When the number of stupid people in a population rises to a certain level, they will take that population with them, and we have living proof that they don't even have to be a majority. Among other things, what Kyle Mulica's bill would have done is it would have made parents who wanted a personal or religious exemption to apply at a state office in person. That merely says, you've got to, okay, you want that, then show up and prove it. It didn't even say that they couldn't have one. Just show up. And for that, he was informed that he and his family should be burned alive. Burning alive. Yeah. When's that? I think that's happened in history before, hasn't it? And yes, it was associated with religion and superstition. And stupidity. Hundreds of anti-vaxxer horrible parents poured into the hallways of the Colorado State Capitol during deliberation on the bill. And so now it can't come back again in Colorado's legislature until 2020. Assuming Colorado hasn't had a even if Colorado does have a major outbreak in infectious disease. We're over 700 people now with the measles, according to the CDC. That's more people than have had the measles in the United States in 25 years. And of those 700, the 500 of them were non-vaccinated people. Oh, I don't know for a fact, but that's an interesting observation, Billable Rick. What do you want to bet me that Julian Poop on the Wall Assange is an anti-vaxxer? It would not surprise me in the least. Meanwhile, Dave, reporting from the blind in Talibandiana. Yesterday, my beloved ex-wife Christine and I took our new 10-week-old pit bull puppy to the vet to get her immunizations in her checkup. And other than a little bit of ringworm, which the doctor told us is normal for a puppy her age, she was in good health. But there are certain shots that are necessary for especially new puppies like Parvo, a deadly disease to puppies that's highly communicable. Many of these anti-vaxxers would probably not think twice about getting vaccinations for their pets, but objected on the moral grounds to do so for their children. Where the hell is the connection there, Bob? If our new puppy, whose name is Sweetie, can get her vaccinations and come through it like a trooper, I'm sure these people's children can do the same. What we would do for our dogs, some people won't do for their kids, Dave acknowledges. Stephen, New York. But Bob, the measles is fun. Remember the Bradys? Oh, I know, I know. I wonder what that actual stupid quotient is. And is there any way you can try to, you know, if only there was some way to educate people. But then again, you can't educate them if they won't go to school. Robert in Australia reminding, polio still exists in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Nigeria. Does the USA still have troops in Afghanistan? Good luck if that gets back to the U.S. Well, no kidding. I don't even think we vaccinate for it anymore, do we? And, yeah, Darlene pointing out, the anti-vaxxers threatened the children of a Connecticut state rep whose stance is against allowing for a religious exemption. That crazy legislation is being considered in Connecticut now. I hope to Jesus it's voted down. A religious exemption. I mean, I know that, you know, I'm sort of obviously irreligious and in some instances anti-religious. I'm particularly anti-religious when it comes to people wanting to use their religions to harm the rest of us, like the anti-vaxxers do. But just from a, I guess, philosophical or theological standpoint, what kind of weird-ass, sicko, demon god wants kids to get preventable diseases? For the life of me, I can't sort that out. I mean, the list of things that these gods care about just blows my mind. There are gods that get worked up about whether you wear a hat. There's a god that gets worked up, apparently, if a woman doesn't show up wearing a goddamn beekeeper suit. There's a god that apparently wants people to mark themselves certain ways. There's a god that wants little children's genitals to be chopped on, male and female. And nobody ever looks at that and says, I'm going to take a pass on that god. Isn't there a god out there that just wants people to be happy? Isn't there a god out there that wants people to frolic and play in the warm sunshine? Isn't there a god out there that wants people to have clean air to breathe and clean water to drink and bathe in and cook with? Isn't there a god out there that wants people to have a roof over their heads? Oh, right. All those gods say all those things, and then they say, oh, but by the way, about your headgear. Or, oh, by the way, don't let your filthy, sinful female face be seen in public. And, oh, by the way, we need to lop the end off your kid's Johnson. Right. Beats the hell out of me, Roy. Precisely. Monique pointing out, didn't God create the scientists who used their minds to create the vaccines? These anti-vaxxers are the same people who are anti-choice, but will be with the death penalty in a second. Oh, they loves them some capital punishments. Oh, yeah, well, I left that part out, the blue hand pointing out. Then there's the God who wants, who cares what kind of underpants you wear. Funny things, these gods. As Ron in the last I checked up that way, flooded far, the far flooded north. Jesus, that shit was scary, Ron. Ron has him some new headphones, and he says, they make you sound like you're in my head. That's because I am, Ron, I am. There's women in the church. Oh, my Lord. Got paint on their faces. Oh, my Lord. What shall we do? Take some water and wash it off? And let the church roll on. Oh, by the way, send money. Yeah, that's the other thing God can't apparently can't do. Can't do without money. Almighty creator of the universe can't get by without money. Whoever it was that invented God the first time, if we ever build the time machine, we need to go back and maybe, I don't know, make sure that doesn't happen. You reckon out there, because the scientists tell us there's all kinds of intelligent life in the universe. We just haven't met any of it or proven any of it or seen any of it. Reckon there are any atheist planets? Reckon there are any intelligent life out there that somehow managed to evolve without a deity? My God, what would they think of us? Now, I'd forgotten about that, but Randy in PA reminds us, in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, there was a planet that got rid of one-third of its useless population by telling them that their planet was about to be eaten by a ginormous space goat, and they shipped them all off in a spaceship to prehistoric Earth, whereupon they became our anthropomorphic ancestors. Yeah, space goat. Space goat! Right. Billable Rick says, stupid, Forrest Gump, and Scientology. In the immortal words of Forrest Gump, stupid is as stupid does. One only wishes that the anti-vaxxers had the wisdom of a Gump. I'm experiencing schadenfreude in watching the quarantine and embargo of that Scientology ship in St. Lucia because of an outbreak of measles. It couldn't happen to a nicer group of people. I only hope that no innocent non-believer on that ship gets the disease, but germs have no borders unless L. Ron wrote otherwise in one of his fourth-rate sci-fi novels. Well, you're promoting him, are you? Fourth-rate? I'm surprised the entire catalog of L. Ron Hubbard isn't on sale at Dollar Tree. Or maybe they pay you to take him away. All right. But we get to... things are, Geezer Disgustus got debriefed by his boss today. What I mean by that is he had an hour-long phone call with lovable, huggable, snuggleable, cuddleable, wouldn't hurt a flea. Huh. Big bad Vladdy Daddy. Yeah. 1 hour today, according to White House press liar Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags. And she said they talked about how they each knew there was no collusion between them. I guess that was sort of would you call that an exit interview? And then, of course, because he's Julius Geezer, he had to brag about it. Uh-huh. Went on the Twitter, he did.
Had a long and very good conversation with President Putin of Russia.
President Putin of Russia, because you got to make that clear because of all the other President Putins in the world. There's President Putin of Uzbekistan and President Putin of Burkina Faso and President Putin of Uruguay. Had a long and very good conversation with President Putin of Russia. As I've always said, long before the witch hunt started, getting along with Russia, China, and everyone is a good thing, not a bad thing. We discussed trade, Venezuela, Ukraine, North Korea, nuclear arms control, and even the Russian hoax. Very productive talk.
This good job you're doing, Donald. You make me very, very proud of what good American you are. Ha! Ha! Ah, tell Melanoma I said hello.
Subject line, who's crazy? Maybe I'm confused, but hear me out. Individual one is saying he's not going to allow anyone to testify, even though most of those involved have already testified to the special counsel. Also, most of the people have resigned or been fired, so they don't work for individual one. So how can individual one at this point say no one is allowed to testify and it's over? All this while at the same time one side of the Senate wants to investigate Hillary's emails. Some more. Setting all that aside, we have an agreement to spend $2 trillion on infrastructure when we've reduced corporate taxes, creating a $1 trillion deficit each year. Where's the money for infrastructure improvements coming from? I can't keep up. I'm ready to live in an off-the-grid cabin in the woods. There's no way that any of this comes to a neat, clean, or positive ending. Signed, Matt, in San Francisco. And you've encapsulated much of that quite nicely. Yeah, we're going to have an infrastructure bill. And I suspect that Chuck and Nancy, as they are now referred to, agreed to it because they know that Donald Trump is a pathological liar and it will never come to anything. Meanwhile, Trump, on the other hand, sees $2 trillion out there, sees an opportunity to probably grift into some of it, but secondarily, and more importantly, probably...
Well, I can use about $1 trillion of that to finish my wall. I'll make it taller than space.
Jesus. I don't think you're crazy, Matt. And that off-the-grid cabin in the woods sounds a little bit better every day. As Ron in flooded Ottawa says, got to have money to buy those $4,000 shoes and Gulfstream 5s. Oh, yeah, the religion industry isn't in it for, love. Meanwhile, Les says, Dumpf had to distinguish between President Putin of Russia versus President Putin of the United States. Well, now. Yeah, that was worthy. Mm-hmm. Steve in New York says, let me guess, no interpreters and no note takers. I don't... Does the syphilitic Caesar speak Russian? I don't think so. Maybe Vlad speaks English. Never really sorted that one out. James in Illinois, Putin smiles... How in the fuck does he know if the guy in Russia was smiling on the other end of the red phone? Lying ass prick. Oh, no, I'm sure they just used FaceTime. Putin, according to Steve in New York, was heard to comment, Donald, very good job hiring American Rasputin Bill Barr. Darlene in Connecticut. Sarah said it was a very brief discussion of the Mueller report between Trump and Putin. The only accurate part of that statement is that it was a briefing. Trump was briefing Putin. After $30 million expended, Trump remains a Russian agent and continues to obstruct justice. Yeah, he now says he's not going to let anybody testify, as Matt alluded to. But he's not in much of a position to prevent it. Anybody who can say, fuck you, we're going to ignore your subpoena... had better be prepared for somebody to say, fuck you right back, and go and spill the damn beans. Don McGahn, for instance, you know, he's a hardcore Republican, but he's a hardcore Republican who wants to keep his law license and not go to prison. Eventually, more people will be taken down in all of this. I mean, there's those 12 cases that are out there that nobody knows anything about right now that Bill Barr is probably desperately trying to make go away. Ron and Raleigh, covenant? The Jewish faith calls for circumcision as a covenant with Yahweh, a truly odd request unless you consider a practical reason for it, maybe cleanliness or some such. However, how did the covenant get translated to common practice in the non-Jewish population? Europeans do not circumcise as a standard practice. Circumcision was pushed as an anti-masturbatory measure, yes it was, in the turn of the century wellness movements. No real reason except parents want their little fella to look like everyone else's. But it would if they just left it alone. Yeah, they pushed that bullshit the theory that somehow it prevents disease or it doesn't withstand scientific scrutiny. My wall, says Steve in New York, will make it out of transparent aluminum. You know, they have that now. I saw it on a space documentary, and it was a Scottish guy talking about it, and the Scots are very inventive, and you know, my mother came from Scotland. Yes, she did. But, so, yeah, we've got that to talk about, but we can wander around to some other places as well. Things that deserve mentioning. Take, for instance, and why not, diamond and silk. You've heard of them. I know we've talked about them in the past. These are two of the most ignorant. We're going to leave ignorant alone and we're going to go to stupid. Two of the most stupid people. In the United States, they have real names. Their names are Lynette Hardaway and Rochelle Richardson. And they found a way to get paid. Because when you're African American and you are not just in support of Marcus Aurelius, but you are eagerly and vocally in support of him, one might say rabidly, then that's sort of a fast track to fame and fortune, which they found over on the YouTube. Well, they busted out of YouTube. Now they're political commentators because they had them on over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda.
Unbelievably embarrassing. Here to react, Fox Nation personalities Diamond and Silk. So this guy, Congressman Cohen, actually ate fried chicken and then held a chicken to mock William Barr, who spent countless hours the day before answering the questions that they say they weren't capable of answering.
No, dumbass. And I can never keep my morning dumbasses. One of them's douchey and the other one is... what's his fuck? I'm not sure which one that is. But no, the hours that Bill Barr spent in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, half of the time of which he spent resting his testicles on the chins of various and sundry members of the Republican side of that committee, those hours were not countless. They were definitely countable. Just as two follows one and three follows two, we could count the number of hours he was there, and they weren't beyond they were not beyond the ken of mathematics to reckon. And I presume that you've seen the photos since then of one of my favorite members of the House of Representatives, Steve Cohen of Tennessee, who also incidentally is an original co-sponsor to H.R. 2050, the AIC Act. By way of playing Trump's game and handing him some of his own back. He brought some KFC with him. And by the way, this is an unpaid product placement. I confess to a certain, well, I'm not crazy about KFC generally. I'm more of a Popeyes guy. But on Monday, they have their chicken pot pie special. And that chicken pot pie is a kick-ass chicken pot pie. And if they would make it with a crust not only on the top but on the bottom, it might well be the best chicken pot pie industrial nature anywhere in the world today. It's good. But Steve Cohen showed up with some KFC and a little plastic chicken such as you might see on the windowsill in a Tennessee country farmhouse. And he mocked Pullet Poltroon, Bill Barr, mercilessly. And that's what got under the skin of these freaks at Fox News. And since it involved fried chicken, because it's Fox News, and because they are who they are, the Booker thought, wait a minute, this is a story with fried chicken in it? Let's get our black commentators on. Holy shit. That's not me. That's them. And then these two women tried to turn it on its ear. Not very successfully.
Is he a chicken in your mind, Diamond and Silk?
Well, you know, he's racially insensitive, is what I think. And just, can you imagine?
Can you imagine being asked, is he a chicken, which is referring to Bill Barr, and either Diamond or Silk, because I don't know who's who, I don't care enough to know who's who, responds, he's racially insensitive. So, dipshit on Fox asks, is he chicken? And she responds, he's racially insensitive, to a question about Bill Barr. And you know what? That might be just Dr. Freud's theories at work. Diamond and Silk slip may be showing, as it were, their Freudian slip. Because being a Republican, Bill, and since he's a Republican who agreed to work for Donald Trump, Bill Barr is probably racist as fuck. But it was off the rails before it ever got out of the station.
If that was a Republican doing that to a Democrat, I mean, just think about that for a moment. But I want you all to understand the reason why the Attorney General is experiencing all of this slander is because the Democrats are afraid.
Yes.
They're getting caught up in the shenanigans.
Yeah, and I guess that if that's Diamond, then Silk's job is to say yes every now and then. Bill Barr's white. Steve Cohen's white. But they tried to play the reverse racism game. Atne ute aitbre, if you one what I in may. Wow. Just wow. Never really ends. James in Illinois, subject line, racial chickens. Red versus yellow versus white? Jack in Shreveport, much ado about chicken. Better chicken than bringing a snowball into Congress to show climate change is a hoax. Yeah, there was that. Subject line, audible groan and eye roll at the mere mention of these two Auntie Thomasinas. That's Tracy writing. Yeah. Well, listen, Tracy, I'll make a deal with you. You can, You can have audible groans and eye rolls about them, and then I'll take on the job of the audible groan and the eye roll about this. The story, of course, comes out of Florida, and it's the story of Brandon Haley and Lucian Evans and Mary Elizabeth Durham, who goes by Beth. Lucian Evans goes by Luke. Another one named Brett Singleton, who goes by Wolf. Well, they went into a fella's house in Salt Springs, Florida. And there they confronted a white dude who had a gang tattoo on his neck. It was CWB. That stands for Crazy White Boys, for those of you who keep track of this sort of thing. And they said they were going to tattoo over it. This is when Luke Evans pulled a knife from his belt. And then Luke Evans and Brandon Dwayne Haley held down the victim, and Wolf Singleton started tattooing dude's neck. Apparently, the guy didn't care for the work being done because he was fidgeting right smart and fighting against getting tattooed. So that's when Brandon Dwayne Haley, age 28. Grabbed something nearby, hit him with it, and knocked him cold. He came to briefly, and he heard Mary Beth Durham say, "I've never done this before." And somebody else said, "That's okay, it doesn't matter." Well, I guess the upshot of this whole thing is that they were such a gang of fuck-ups that they managed to not cover his CWB for Crazy White Boys tattoo. Instead, they tattooed on an expletive, as the Ocala Star banner describes it, an expletive followed by that word that has all the same letters but isn't ginger. But here's the thing. They left out one of the two G's in the word. So now it's, I presume the expletive was probably fucking. Fucking name of a West African nation that we pronounce with a soft G. It'll be fucking Niger. As Sister Carol Baker pointed out when she alerted me to the story, she doesn't know whether the people were arrested for doing what they did or because they misspelled the word. Meanwhile, Wolf Singleton is still on the lam and probably spells it L-A-M-B. No. If you're on the lam, it is on L-A-M. If you're a baby sheep, you're an L-A-M-B. Maybe he'd better stick with on the run. Mm-hmm. And going back to Diamond and Silver. So, Tracy, I'll take this gang of idiots, and you can take Diamond and Silk, and we'll just carry that burden on our respective shoulders, okay? Ron and Raleigh, subject line Diamond and Silk. These two Aunt Jemima wannabes are Donald Trump's hype women. They've improved their combined net worth to the tune of around $3 million. These heifers know where the Benjamins are. Matt in San Francisco. One doth protest too much. I believe Mr. Barr really thought he could just pull out the old lie about the report, hide it, cover it up, and by the time anyone figured it out, it'd be 5 to 6 years later before anyone figures it out, like Iran-Contra, statute of limitations would have run, as we discussed last night. However, thanks to the internets and the rapid movement and speed and decimating information, it took only days and hours instead of what the old attorney general and head law enforcement liar remembers from back when he was in his prime lying years. I say he be held in contempt of Congress and thrown in the basement cell just for the optics. Then individual one can pardon him. I'm so tired of the Dems gaming out every move and worrying about how the optics will impact the election. It's time to take a page from the Republicans and move with blinding speed and then shape public opinion after the action's been taken. In short, lock him up. And there's no impediment to charging Bill Barr. And if you impeach him, if they hold him in contempt, and then he declines to prosecute himself, and we find out that the ethical structure at the Department of Justice is a complete fraud and a total sham, then the more the merrier. And then you impeach him. And you make Lindsay climb out from under the fainting couch and yell, "Slander! I swear it's slander! And don't none of y'all be bringing no chicken in here, neither!" Wait. "And now I have to hate Niger?" Matt says, "I haven't even visited. I'm sure it's a beautiful place. Parts of it." Tracy wants to know, was there watermelon involved as well? No, not this time. Oh, yeah. Let's see. Ron in the far-flooded north. One suspects that Diamond and Silk may have used up most of their bandwidth. They started out slow, and they're now tapering off. Yeah, but Ron, the checks keep clearing. Let's see, I'm going to see if I can make this work. I'm trying to connect to the Skype group, so if one of y'all would be so kind as to answer, it would be helpful. Ah, very good, very good. And if you'd a reminder, if you'd like to participate in the Skype group, the Friday on the Front Porch Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, then feel free to run over to headon.live and click on the Skype link, and it'll carry you straight to the group. So that being the case, and it being the top of the hour, let's find out what's going on inside the old holler tree and check in. Again, Sparky's off somewhere today. And as I told him, I hope he's having fun and not fun. Oh, and Billable Rick says, cowbell for Steve's email about transparent aluminum. Yes, I agree. So, that's for Steve. And here we are at the top of the hour. We've got $300 to raise this evening. And so far, we're at zero. And hopefully it will not stay that way. Oh, by the way, Ralphs sent a note. Remember last week when I was talking with our buddy Dan Fisher, and he said he was now allowed to talk about the program, the show he's working on. Well, Ralphs sent me an article from Macworld, the complete list of Apple TV shows and series, latest news, actors, trailers, and release dates. And it mentions the show Dan's working on, Little America. So, cool. I'm anxious to watch it. I started, and you know, ever since Dan and I started talking, I've started paying attention to things like props. And I tell you what, watching American Gods, the second season, by the way, not nearly as impressed as I was with the first season. But that's a properties master's either dream or nightmare. Yeah. So away we go, over to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. A reminder, if you can't negotiate Skype, that's what the stress line is there for, 844-843-4676, if you need that to get into the group. No one on it at this point in time. And, good evening, group. I guess let's start with Billable Rick. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing okay, Bob.
People can just pop in, right? I mean, nope. Because not really used to doing this without Sparky, but we should be okay, I guess.
It can be done by mere mortals, Bob.
Ah, very good. Mere mortals who go to headon.live and click on the link.
I think we got this, Mr. Bob.
Okay. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Doing good, brother. Let's see what Rick's up to.
Well, you got this, Bob.
Yeah, you got it. No problem. So I've been busy. I've been dealing with my insurance situation, my car situation. I ended up getting what I thought of as a lowball settlement offer to, you know, for the loss of my Volt, you know?
Yeah.
And I just, I kept arguing and arguing with them, and I finally said, okay, fuck it. I'm just going to take it. On the upside, though, I'm meeting with the insurance representative for the other accident, for the other driver who was at fault in the accident. And she's going to, you know, pay all my medical bills for the emergency room visit and also talk about some pain and suffering as well. So
arbitration sounds like, is that correct?
I'm not going to do arbitration, Steve. You know, my option with my insurance company to dispute the fair market value of my Volt, which had like 49,000 miles on it, was only a year and a half old, not even a year and a half old. I could have fought them, but I would have had to have hired my own appraiser or valuation expert and paid them. And I know how much valuation experts cost, at least a few thousand bucks, and that's just not worth it, you know?
Rick, are you contractually bound by your firm, or are you allowed to do side work on your own if you would like?
Well, you know, so long as I'm with the firm, I have to devote my full energies to the firm. But, you know, that may not be going on for that much longer. That's another thing going on, which I...
Can I call you this weekend? I got something on your side that you may be interested in.
Sure. So to close the loop, I am in the process of meeting with the Farmers Insurance, the insurance company of the at-fault driver in my accident. And, it looks like I'm going to get some of my, some of the money that I lost on the totaling of my car. I'm about $5,000 underwater on that, roughly. Some of that I may get back in pain and suffering damages. So I'm hoping they'll pay me something on that, you know. And they didn't ask me a lot of questions about my injuries other than what the cervical sprain and right knee sprain diagnosis was at the hospital. So, that's good, you know. So I don't have to make any affirmative statements, as to the injuries except that what the doctor said, you know. So that's a good thing. So hopefully that'll end up working out okay. And our pool team is playing in the league playoff finals next Wednesday, the 9-ball team. So that should be fun. And hoping to win that. And then we're going to have a party on the following Saturday, like a year-end party at my place. So I've got a lot of yard work to do this weekend at the house. My star hopefully is going to come up to the house, and we'll do it together and help me out with that. And it'll be looking quite like the English garden that it should look like when it's properly manicured. So
nice.
That's what's going on with me.
So have you gotten a new ride yet, or are you still driving around in a rental?
No. Star was nice enough to allow me to drive her Volkswagen CC. It's a, I guess, considered a luxury sedan. You know, black CC with leather seats. So it's quite nice. So, oh, there's Steve. Hey, Steve. It's like he's in, I don't know, New York. I'm not sure. But
yeah, I'm in East Harlem.
Where are you?
I'm in East Harlem.
East Harlem. Myself. Okay. Yeah, okay.
I muted myself because I'm outside.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Gotcha. Hello, Steve.
Steve. Rick, I would like to speak with you offline at some point.
Sure. Let me drop my number on the chat here, okay?
Okay. That would work perfectly. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. I'd love to talk to you.
Thanks. I'm going to go on mute just because where I am, so...
Okay.
I'm not listening. I'm just going on mute, everybody.
Okay. That's
okay,
cool.
Steve. Sounds good. So, I mean, are you car... I'm prone to getting the car bug.
Yeah, I know.
I love car lot looking and stuff like that. It's in my genetics, I guess. You know. So are you wandering the lots? Are you looking around? Are you looking for a replacement for your Volt? I mean.
Well, you know, at the moment, I must say that I'm not. I'm in negotiations for a new position that would pay me off the bat 25% more. And with bonuses, a possible additional 25%. At this time, I'm kind of trying to, hold my reserves in check. Right now, I've already made a couple of payments since the accident towards my car, so I'm now underwater about $4,000. So the plan is to pay off the car in the next like 5 or 6 months, and then look for a new car at the end of the year. That, I think, is the plan. Plus, that's probably a better time to look anyway because you get more sales then, you know?
True.
Probably even more sales in the fall, ideally. Maybe October would be even better. Maybe I'll have it paid off, but then who knows? And then I have an extended warranty that, for 100,000 miles or 5 years and whichever comes first. And, at least half of the warranty is unexpired, so I'm going to get a rebate of that, or at least let's say my lien holder is going to get a rebate of that to reduce my loan balance. So that's kind of the plan, to kind of keep the cost down until I have paid off this old car loan and can have a new obligation, unfortunately, so that's the deal.
Well, good luck along the way.
Thank you, Bob.
Are you gonna try to stay electric?
Yeah, I am. You know, it's killing me because this car has like an 18-gallon tank, 18-gallon tank. And I pumped like $72 into it not that long ago it was almost empty, just to fill it up. It's like, oh shit, That's when you miss your electric car or your hybrid electric car, when you have to pay that much money to the goddamn oil companies,
That was awful nice of Star, Rick. You need to hang on to her. She's a keeper, brother.
She really is. Yeah. She really is. I don't know how many people would do that.
Just here, we're gonna, my we're, car, we're
gonna,
fun.
Yeah, we're gonna miss you in the North Georgia mountains this time through.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not gonna make it. It was a lot of fun though. But you guys have a couple of pickle shots for me while you're at it, huh? And
not as many as last time.
you guys got to send me pictures of you guys playing, let's say, soccer in kilts or something like that.
Right, Bob, like you told me last go around. I got to take it easy.
Oh, what
time.
Do you mean? I liked it. You had two shots. Now quit that. I mean, you had. No, time out. Wait a minute. You had two pickle bags. Hold on, bub. Yeah. And that wasn't out of that 5 gallon barrel of Crown Royal you brought with you.
I knew he was gonna come back at me.
By the way, I learned something the other day from a friend of mine who is have you ever heard the phrase cheap and cheerful? I first ran across it in reference to cigars. And there was a Cuban cigar site in Australia that I used to frequent and just looked at all the beautiful offerings. And every now and then they'd highlight one that was not terribly expensive and yet had a good profile and good flavor and everything. And he referred to it as a cheap and cheerful. Well, I've since seen it applied also to potent potables. And I was told about this the other day. For people who enjoy Crown, there is a cheap and cheerful alternative at less than half the price. And it's blended Canadian whiskey, bottled by the Sazerac Company in Kentucky, and it's called Rich and Rare, R&R. And you can get a fifth of it for, or let's just say a liter of it, for less than half the cost of a liter of Crown.
Really?
And it is it may very well be just rebottled Crown, off-brand, off-label Crown.
And you listening, Steve?
Oh, yeah, R&R. I used to drink the hell out of that, Bob.
I'd never heard of it.
Yeah, and back then it wasn't comparable to Crown, but who knows? They may have reformulated now, you know. And it was. But even back then, it wasn't comparable to Crown, but it was still palatable, you know.
And they've even got an apple version now, just like the Crown apple.
Right. Well, I'm bad out, so after the show, I'll go get a small pint, and I'll let you know. I'll give you my opinion on it.
I'd be interested.
Okay.
Interesting. We're having a party this weekend, so I'm wondering.
Well,
go for it, Tracy.
If you're mixing it with ginger ale or Coke or anything like that.
Probably makes a great mule, too. Kentucky mule.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it would be a Canadian mule.
Well, yeah. Canadian. Royal mule is what they call them. That's a technical rule. Term for it.
Not to politely interrupt here,
we're doing a combination. Alex's birthday. Well, we have a bunch of birthdays. It's Alex's birthday, his best friend since high school's birthday, and a couple of friends' birthdays. So we're doing that plus Cinco de Mayo. So it's just an excuse to drink and eat tacos.
Excellent.
Sounds like a lovely idea.
Yeah, there's a Hispanic market called Vallarta, and they pre-season the carne asada and the chicken. Plus, they do homemade corn tortillas and homemade chips. So we're gonna do that, and I'm gonna do the guacamole and all that good stuff. So. As a matter of fact, I'm at the bakery picket. Hey, Rick, have you heard of Susie's Cakes?
I think I may have. Tell me a little more about it.
Oh, their cakes. I mean, the cakes taste like they're from scratch. Like the other day, when I was bitching about you guys talking about something, and I said I'm drowning my sorrows in the strawberry, blueberry.
Yeah, I remember that. That hurt.
With whipped cream. Everything's from scratch. They have a seasonal cake. So this cake is, for spring. So they had the strawberry, blueberry, it's kind of like a shortcake. But then like for Christmas, they had peppermint chocolate cake. And they like right now for Cinco de Mayo, I haven't gone in yet because there's a fucking crowd. It's always crowded. They have churro cupcakes, so I'm going to try one of those. And of course, they have red velvet cake, and then they have this what they call the celebration cake. It's about six layers. It's a six layer round cake, and it has vanilla frosting with the confetti sprinkles inside the cake. With buttercream frosting. Yeah. So it's a wonderful, magical place that I should never go into, but I can't help myself.
You don't have many other vices, so I don't think anybody's
gonna. No, I don't. I really don't. Like I, you know, I sent you the link for you. Hey, Rick, here's another place. Have you heard of Wanderlust Ice Cream in Tarzana?
Oh yeah, that's what you were torturing me with last night.
Yeah,
I'm not familiar with it, Tracy, but it sounds good.
Oh my God! So they had
you're a Valley girl though. I'm not a Valley guy.
Well, you are, but technically in the Valley.
The Crescenta Valley.
Yeah, you still
different valley.
Whatever, still a valley. But so they had this flavor sticky mango and sticky rice ice cream. Oh God, it was what? And see, I don't typically go for these hipster places. It's one of the things that drives me crazy about, you know, these places. You know, you want to, when you go to an ice cream parlor, I just want, can I just get plain old vanilla or chocolate or, you know, Rocky Road, you know, just, you know, basic ice cream. But they take this stuff to a whole another level of, you know, sticky mango, you know, mango with sticky rice. What was the, ice cream with, you know, it's just crazy the different flavors they come up with. I mean, coming from somebody that's my age, you know, I like.
Can I jump in here for a minute?
Huh? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, jump in.
Hello.
Yeah.
I'm just checking out the new headphones, Bob, to see if they work.
They do. Your microphone, you've got a lot of bass in that microphone.
Ooh.
I thought it was Barry Gordy there for a second. I wasn't sure.
A lot of bottom end.
Sounds real studly there, Bob. I just want to say I'm sitting here with a nice glass of Weller 107.
Oh, you bastard.
He always drinks the best, man. I'm rubbing it in, too.
I just want to observe that most Canadian whiskeys, if they have to be mixed with anything, aren't good whiskeys. And now, my base is I've been fighting a real bad chest cold for a week now, and I sound like I'm talking from the bottom of a drum.
Okay, that may explain it.
Now, friend, have you tried out the Top End Maker's Mark, and what did you think of it, if you have?
Maker's Mark's good. It's what I call my...
They got a top end, though. I mean, like their reserve, I guess you would call it. No, I don't know if you ever tried it or not. It's really good.
Maker's Mark, I think it's 47. Yep. It's double aged in two different barrels. And I said this to Bob before, but Maker's Mark is a whiskey I use to introduce Canadians to as an introductory whiskey for what good whiskey can taste like. And I've converted a lot of people from Scotch. Mostly because it's about half the price up here for Maker's Mark or good bourbons to decent scotches. So, I just had to let Bob know I was drinking some 107.
Yeah, we still haven't seen that come back here.
Yeah, you had to rub it in, didn't you? Here I am. Bottom end Maker's Mark.
So where you been, Ron, in the sandbox lately?
I've been in the sandbox twice in the last month.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm just recovering from the last trip. 8-hour time change, 22 hours of flying time each way. I was there for 5 days. And I'm going back late May, early June.
Okay. Well, it's starting to get hot there, I guess, by then, right?
Not blistering, but okay. that happens in August and September. But
right.
Hell, I'm 71. This is getting a little harder to do every year.
I can imagine.
So I keep raising my hourly rates.
And they keep paying them.
They do. I'm starting to see a trend here.
I'm not trying to get a personal, friend, but how much typically do you drink on a night? Is it just a shot, a snifter or two, or pint? I mean,
no, double with one rock, maybe two.
Okay, so you keep it really, really under a half a pint then.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you know.
Well, yeah.
Well, when Ron pours two fingers when Ron pours two fingers of bourbon, you got to understand, Steve, the two fingers are vertical.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Hey,
Bob,
Ron,
you wouldn't talk about that.
Well, you know, sorry, trade secrets. From one Ron to another, Ron in Raleigh wants to know what kind of headphones did Brother Ron get? Exactly. What kind of headphones did you get, and are you drinking any Suntory? And are you drinking any Suntory?
Great.
No, you're still there. You're there. We're here.
We're getting an echo, and I have no idea where or who. It's not. I don't think it's me, because when I'm mute, I still hear it.
No, I'm hearing y'all. I'm not hearing any echo at all. Odd.
I got kicked out, and I know it wasn't me because I've been on mute the entire time.
I think that's just the software behaving weirdly. Because it could just be me.
It could be Windstream. Who knows?
That's a design feature of this Microsoft program out of flaw, by the way, y'all.
Of course it is. I wonder when the blue screen shows up.
Yeah. Hey, Ron, have you got back yet? Are you there?
Yay, rarely.
Okay.
I think I'm here.
Yeah, you are. So we need questions answered from Ron and Raleigh. You got to have a little faith, man. You're still here.
We want to pick your brain, man. You know your whiskey.
Are you drinking any Suntory, and what kind of headphones did you get?
I heard the last half of that. I'm drinking in a nice curved snifter. 107.
What Ron asked you is, have you gotten into the Suntory?
I love Suntory. It's better than Scotch, and it's Japanese Scotch. It's good stuff. It's four O's and good. And the headphones I've got are my new Sony 1000 MX3s, and they just completely removed the outside world, which is why I got them for airplanes.
So do they have active noise canceling?
Oh yeah, and you can control it from an app on your phone, and you can dial it up to whatever level you want or down. And you can just tap the headphone. It's got a capacitive interface on it, and you can turn on ambient noise so you can hear your flight attendant talk to you like there's no headphones involved. Or you can control volume up and down by just moving your finger up and down on the right headpiece, right earpiece. Or you can go forward or back. Simply moving left and right with your finger on the headpiece.
Nice. Well, Bob, can I jump in here just for a second?
Yeah, go right ahead. Go right ahead, Steve.
I don't know if this is making anybody else's blood boil, but I'd like to make a point. We've all had jury duty, right? Probably everyone out there has had jury duty.
Not me, but you've never had it.
Please don't tell me about it. I got a call this Friday in about like after 6 o'clock my time to see if I got a report on Monday.
Well, I guess being I live in a little hick county, I've been called at least four times. And if I don't show up, you know what they do? They put a bench warrant out for my arrest, send the sheriff out here, and charge me with contempt of court.
They do that in L.A. County as well.
And how come this bar fucker can get away with just not showing up?
Well, what I think should be done is I think the sergeant of arms and the Capitol Police should make a visit to Mr. Barr's offices.
There, not dick around, and we're going to work with him.
Arrest the fucker.
Time. That pissed me off, man.
Arrest the fucker and put him in the Hooskow in the basement of the Capitol building. There is a prison there that hasn't been used since 1935. It needs to get some use, I think.
And I don't know why Diamond and Russ got their panties in a while. They somebody else put like a rubber chicken in his chair. That was funny as shit, you know.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. It wasn't meant to, you know, to go along racial lines. It was just meant to say, you know, the KFC was a pick at Trump, obviously, because he eats that crap. And the rubber chicken was saying that, Barr, you're a fucking chicken. Get your ass here, man.
Yeah, there's nothing racial about calling somebody a chicken. Come on, give me a break.
Actually, I was doing some reading earlier today. It goes back to Shakespearean times.
No shit.
Yeah.
But let me finish, Bob. But I just wanted to say, if it makes anybody else as pissed off as I do, we need to keep talk like this going. And Bob is he doesn't have anybody that has donated yet. So Karen won $10 on a scratch off. I matched it out of pocket. So I want to put it out there. If anybody else could, I don't know, if Bob, what do you call this? A challenge?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, if anybody else could match, you know, what Karen and I kicked in, we would really appreciate it.
Well, if we can get a little avalanche going, we can knock. I mean, it's not one of the usual Friday evening breathtaking. Oh my God, we're $900 in the hole kind of thing. It's $300, and we'll be even through the first three days of May.
We don't stay current, well, you know, it'll catch up and bite you in the ass, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's the absolute truth, because, you know, come Monday, it's five.
Yeah.
So it would be nice if it was just the the usual, come Monday. So, if somebody matches you and Karen, you know, that gets us down to 260, and then we start making some progress.
Karen hit, she handed it to me and said, give this to Bob. And I said, I'll do better than that. I'll match you 10. You know, so
okay, so it's already so yeah, there's a matching, it's a matching challenge within a matching challenge.
Yep. So, and that's all I got. I'll toss it back to you guys.
Okay, well, thanks, Steve. Thanks a bunch. I hope people will jump in.
You're welcome, Mr. Kincaid. It's always a pleasure. I enjoy the porch more than I do cake, and I would hate to see this go away.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
I think I'm back. I'm not really.
Yeah,
sure.
You're here. Yeah.
Weird feedback, but I just wanted to know if I could just relax now and listen, or if there are other questions, since I haven't appeared for what, damn near 2 months.
You have been gone a while, but you can hang out and relax and jump in as the spirit moves you. And if there are other questions, by God, we'll let you know.
And sip as I wish, right?
Yes, even with a straw, if you want.
Okay, I'll do that.
Bob,
by the way, the flooding here,
yeah,
the water level has leveled. Didn't go up today. So we've got more water coming down the Ottawa River now than all of the rivers in Europe and the UK combined. Coming down as one single river. There's an old ring dam, 100 years old, above, right in the middle of downtown Ottawa, in Ottawa and crossings to Quebec. And they haven't opened all 23 sluice gates in 100 years. They've been open now for weeks, and water's still coming over the top of the dam.
Is there any risk of the dam failing?
No, it's a ring dam. That's why they build them that way. The more pressure on them, the stronger they get. But there's one of the major bridges in town has been closed since Sunday a week ago, and it'll probably be closed for another 4 or 5 weeks, because the water's right up underneath the roadway, which is normally 40 feet above the water, and it's wiping out, gas pipelines and telecom lines and all the stuff you run under a bridge. So it's going to take a few weeks to get it all back open up. But some people are starting to feel more comfortable. And you can't imagine the amount of water coming down this river. And it all gets funneled into a couple of narrow chutes. And, it's like 70 feet of water, 30 feet of waves. And it's moving at 50 miles an hour when it gets funneled into these chutes.
I'm sure climate change has absolutely nothing to do with that, right, Ron?
Oh,
that's a hoax.
Yeah, nothing at all. But But you know what it looks like beneath the Bluestone Dam in high water?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, son, that doesn't touch it. I mean, that looks like a placid fall pond compared to the crap that's coming through Ottawa right now.
And what is that? What is that river? What does the Ottawa River empty into?
St. Lawrence River, and from there into the Gulf of St. Lawrence. Right now, they've got 3.5 times the water going over Niagara Falls every second. And they had something like 10,000 volunteers and 1.5 million sandbags and probably 1,000 homes evacuated, but right along the river. Places that had never seen water aren't even listed on, half of them aren't even listed on official floodplains. And they were getting water right up to their living room windows. And it was just been astounding. And the last flood of the millennium that we had was in 2017, which was only 2 years ago. And we're still waiting for the peak runoff from all the snow up in northern and western Quebec and northern Ontario to come rolling down the river in about 10 days. Nobody knows what that's going to do. They're all going, we don't know. We don't have a model for this. So it's interesting to watch.
Interesting, and it God only knows. I mean, there's no idea yet, is there, Ron, how much damage has been done?
No. It'll be in the dozens of millions of dollars already, just in Ottawa. And further upriver, where they don't have, 200 construction companies to show up with heavy equipment to lift and move sandbags by the dozens. Little villages and stuff along the river, they're just getting swamped.
And it's so, it's so, not so supposed to. That's not a regular event like the flooding of the Nile.
No, there was one in 2012 or 11, I think, and then one in 2017. This one has exceeded it by 50 centimeters, which is 18 inches, which, when you spread it across 5 miles of water, is shit ton more of water, and nobody knows what's going to happen going down the road.
So Ron, is this the 500-year flood, or the 100-year flood, or the 1,000-year flood, or what? And what was the 2017 one called?
1,000-year flood.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing how quickly the 1,000-year floods are coming around. You know, time's really getting compressed.
Yeah, there's a science fiction novel in there somewhere.
I think so. Nothing wrong here. Just move along. You know, it ain't climate change. Yeah. Nothing's happening.
Nothing to see here. Nope.
Yeah. Jeez. I know the American Midwest is really getting hit with some bad flooding. I saw some pictures in Iowa where the water's like way up to the edge of the sidewalk in Burlington. And, you know, I know Nebraska got hit really bad with a lot of flooding. And, you know, it's nuts.
Rick, a levee broke in Davenport and flooded Davenport out.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Wow, levees always break in Davenport. They got shitty levees.
Yeah,
they were breaking in Davenport for 20 years. Isn't Joni Ernst from Iowa?
She's the senator. Yeah, she's the one that was going to castrate Congress, I guess.
Yeah, Joni Hog D. Baller Ernst. Yes.
Your kids run away fast.
Yeah, yeah. And to think she sits in Tom Harkin's old seat, huh?
Yeah, it's just pathetic.
I got a bail here. I got to write a report for tomorrow morning. But nice talking to you as always.
Good hearing from you.
Nice to know the headphones semi work, even though I sound bassy.
Well, that may be that may be the nasty ass cold too.
Yeah, take care, Ron. Good hearing from you.
Have a wonderful weekend, Ron.
I'll try. Welcome. Yeah. Bye
now. And it's awful good to hear from Ron. It's been a little while, and I couldn't do that back and forth across the pond two times. Wow, that's a bunch. Got some good news. Just heard from Jude in the Great Northwest. Steve, she's matched you and Miss Karen's challenge, and well, says see you June 7th. Jude is coming to the Malloy Fest in North Georgia.
Well, looking forward to meeting her.
She's a darling. I've had the privilege of meeting Jude a couple of times, and she's just an amazing, wonderful human being. Well, let's keep moving around the room. Jack is with us. Jack in Shreveport, after a long, long time away. Have you figured out a way to make the gizmo work, Jack?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, it looked like you just have to go to the window and then start making things appear, like the chat and the, I don't know, I was on it earlier today and, trying to get any kind of response and it just wouldn't do anything. So when I went to the link you have on Horn or Head On Live, it seemed to work. So I think it's going. It's really hard to use. So
yeah, but weird to negotiate it.
Yeah. I'm looking on the help, and it's the Microsoft isn't too helpful. So, but yeah, so it. And then I guess got to make sure to save all my options. I've lost those a few times. So, but anyway, so it's going. I was just about to bitch about something. Oh, this is a completely different topic, but, you got your new audio equipment and all that, and I was trying to put together some stuff to, a guitar and a mixer and hook it up to my old stereo, and whoops, gotta re-foam the speakers. Anybody ever done that?
No, and it doesn't sound fun.
No, the little stuff that connects the outside of the speaker frame.
I've heard of repapering them. Is that what you're referring to, or?
Well, it's just, I got some crap in my mouth, man. Just a second.
I'm sorry, brother.
But I was kind of eating, but, there's, between the actual cone that, the kind of the stiff cone, and then, to connect the outside rim of that to the kind of the metal frame of the speaker, there's this flexible foamy crap, and it's all, it's deteriorated. They're like, I don't know how many years old, decades. So apparently you can just, get some of that and glue it back on.
Is that something you want to tackle, or are you going to farm that out to?
Well, the voice coil and the magnet, I guess you have to shim it and then, center the speaker when you're gluing all this crap on. But, man, I hate to take a pretty perfectly good speaker and
it's heartbreaking.
Just that one piece of shit, to make it completely useless. I hate doing that. So, but, and all the little connectors are all crackly and, Bob, you talk about, there's something on a board you can't find, or it's that kind of stuff.
Yeah, madness. So,
yeah, it'd drive you nuts.
Yeah. So anyway, that's pretty much everything I have is old, and since I got more time than money, I end up trying to fix crap.
Now, I don't know how true this is, but I've always heard that speakers and microphones sound better with age. I don't know if there's any truth to that.
Yeah, I don't know. This is like, it's, sometimes in a car, in an automobile, there'll be something like up in the, you know, between the metal, you know, the outside and then your interior, like fabric, there'll be some crappy foamy crap that just kind of disintegrates.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. It's kind of like that.
I got it. Yep.
Just old.
Oh, doesn't sound like any fun at all, man.
Oh, a little, you know, I was just going to see, and I'm trying to chase down like, you know, like connections and crackle, and it sounds like there's static, you know, and, you know, when you move, you know, you could, you never can tell if it's a bad cable or a bad jack and a gadget or a, you know, just a totally just
equalizer, amplifier. It could be
right, right. So, you know,
I got you. I got you.
So that's my.
Yeah, but some artists and songs sound better with that little crackle, you know, on a album, you know, on vinyl or through an old speaker than digitally remastered, you know, and through, you know, streaming or whatever. And you listen to the song digitally, and it just doesn't have that distinctive, you know, little crackles, right?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. They ruined a few ZZ Top albums when they remastered them. In fact, the whole series. They did so poorly that they had to come back and remaster from the master. Everybody was bitching so much about it. They put digital drums in it and put all kind of reverb in the vocals. It sounded like shit, you know?
You can do too much to old music, you know?
Yeah, just leave it alone. Just transfer, you know?
Hmm. I think I've got a CD. I got it as a gift not too long ago. I think it's ZZ Top. I don't know if that's... It's like a redo.
Well, this might be helpful, Jack. Yeah. Just got a note from Dave, who mm-hmm. says refoam kits are cheap and easy.
Huh. So yeah, I've seen when I was kind of surfing around, I saw that yeah, there's kits, or maybe you can kind of get little, I don't know, stuff that maybe doesn't fit and cut it to size. But yeah, if it's a
well, he recommends going to speakerworks.com, and they've got speaker repair kits.
Okay, I'll give that and these are like, you know, old, I don't know, 1988 speakers, but I think I saw, you know, I think they may have that. So Speakerworks.
Yeah, and there's also simplyspeakers.com. That's courtesy of Ron and Raleigh.
Oh, cool. Thanks, Ron.
So that's a couple of options for refoaming.
Okay, Speaker Works, and what was the other one?
Simply Speakers.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, if it would stop raining every weekend, I've got some fairly ambitious plans for the studio, but it involves carrying stuff out into the yard.
Mm.
And I need dry days for that, and... not going to get any of those until like Monday. It's pouring right now. Within probably the next 15 minutes or so, the thunder and the lightning are going to come. So like the warning that I issued at the beginning of the program will probably obtain, namely that if we lose power here, we lose power here because Appalachian mm-hmm. power, you know, sucks.
Mm-hmm. Is Tracy out there, Bob?
Yeah, I've been listening to the white guys talk.
They remastered a special on Netflix. It's a tribute to Robert Johnson. You ought to check that out.
Oh, I watched that the other night.
Wasn't that good?
Yeah.
Did you say to who? Robert Johnson,
yeah.
Oh, the blues singer.
Yeah, the guy that allegedly made the deal with the devil at the crossroads.
Cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of television, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to tell you, check it out if you get a chance. Go ahead.
Well, speaking of television, so I have two television things. So it's amazing how Bob is in my head or somebody is paying attention to Bob or what have you. So back to my, you know, my favorite show, The Good Fight. So guess what? Last night episode was about these people, a person like kind of like, what's his name? The gay right winger,
Andrew, Chris Sullivan?
Milo Yiannopoulos.
Yes. He was suing a search engine, kind of YouTube-y thing. That's kind of YouTube, but they call it Chum Hum on the show, because he was claiming that because they were censoring him, and he's lost money because of he's not on like the first pages when they search, and woo-doo-woo. And you're like, no, this is what we're using to keep people from using hate speech. So then they have these two characters, black women, and guess what their names were on the show, Bob? Leather and Lace.
And so they were
supposed to be witnesses to, what's happening, because, Chum Hum is impeding their speech, and, they're losing this and that. And so there was a sister on there that was doing the cross-examination, and she, they're going on and on, and they're censoring our speech because we're black people and we're not part of the Democratic plantation, and on and on and on. And, they were suffering at the hands of Chum Hum. And so the sister's like, and she called old girl by her given name. And she's like, I would prefer for you to say, to call me by Leather. And she's like, I'm not, because this is what your name is. Right. So she shut that down. Because and just like you were saying, the other ones, her whole thing was to say, So her sister, it was in the gallery, and saying, every time Leather said something, she's like, get it, girl. Get it. So finally it came down to, she's like, so you're saying you're suffering and all this. She's like, I would argue the fact that since, you're saying you had all this trouble on, Chum Hum, but it's amazingly now, you got better. You're making more money now, because now you're on, their thing, like whatever Fox News is. She's like, so in other words, ever since Chum Hum, reportedly, curbed your speech or something, you're doing better now, because now you have your own show, and you're getting, you're doing appearances and all this. And so how are you the injured party? Yeah, that was fun. And the whole time I'm thinking, if some guy could do this to Diamond and Silk, that would just make my day.
So they were relegated back to the echo chamber then, huh, Tracy?
Right. So it's like, you're crying, Chum Hum this, Chum Hum, basically YouTube this, Google that, but your presence, you have now an even stronger presence now because you're on, Fox News. So that was good. And then has anybody been watching, or had anybody watched or heard of a show called Black Monday?
Not I.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I found this by accident. It's unfortunately, it's on Showtime, but it's my favorite person in the whole wide world is in it, Don Cheadle.
Oh yeah, he's great.
So the premise of it is one of the 10 episode show. It's Don Cheadle and Regina Hall. I'm making sure I don't say Regina King. Regina Hall, and it's set in 1987, a year before Black Monday. Because was Black Monday in October of 88, or was it?
That sounds right. Yeah.
So it shows. Everybody's saying nobody knows exactly what caused that crash. So this show speculates on what they feel caused the crash. And so basically the show is about Don Cheadle. He owns a trading company. And of course, most of the traders are black, again, females and stuff like that. So they're the underdogs, they're trying to get into this, the blue blood world of stock trades and stuff like that. And they're basically treated like crap and all that. Nobody takes them seriously. And they're going on this, it's almost kind of reminiscent of 48 of Trading Places, where, they're turning everybody on the game on the head, and, just kind of taking advantage of people, of, rich white people's greed and
blah, 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 blah. But the show is so dead on to the 80s, of the greed of the 80s, the excess of the 80s. You know, and I'm looking at those clothes that we wore in the 80s, and I'm like, oh, my God. Until I watched this show, I used to think how cute I looked in the 80s. Uh-uh.
No.
Those clothes are horrible, and the hair and the makeup, but the show is so good. My personal favorite, there's one scene where there's an Arab brother with his headgear and his crescent moon necklace running through the airport chasing after somebody, and nobody's even caring. And I'm like, oh my God, this is before 9/11. An Arab brother could run through the airport with no issue. Nobody would have thought about it, because back then when you saw an Arab brother, you thought, oh shoot, he's a Saudi prince or something, so we want to hang with him because he got money. I mean, and just, you know, what their terms about sexual harassment, and even though it was, oh God, I mean, if anybody gets a chance to watch it, I think you might even be able to buy it on probably on Amazon Prime. But it is worth the watch, because I, you know, just seeing, you know, it just reminded me of movies like Wall Street and stuff like that, just how greedy and horrible it was in the 80s. I mean, it's even worse now, but it's like kind of seeing the beginning of the bullshit. But yeah, so if anybody gets a chance, watch that, and definitely, you know, and I know Bob said eventually that you and Agnes are going to start a good fight. But yeah, man, it's just, I don't know. I use TV to escape, and that's how I, you know, basically that my life is about, at this point in my life, is about eating and watching television.
Tracy, are you watching Game of Thrones?
Okay. So. Shut up, Bob. So I have to be honest. I was one of these people that said, I will never watch Game of Thrones, because the only people who watch Game of Thrones are the people who grew up playing Dungeons and Dragons in their, their parents' basement. I'm sorry. I just, you know, and it was just so whitey white, triple white, white. And I'm like, I can't with these people. So, but my son, Alex, God, I love him. And I raised him in such a way that, I mean, this is my son who listens to, you know, he listens to Led Zeppelin and what is it, Blue Oyster Cult? Blue.
Black Sabbath,
Blue Oyster Cult. And, sure. That's the kind of music my child listens to. And I fault myself for him hanging around too many white people. That's my fault. But that, I digress. So for the last 7 years or 8 years, he's been on my case about watching Game of Thrones. And at first, when it first came out, I had HBO, and I'm like, I'm not watching it. Then I got rid of HBO. And I'm like, no, still not. And so then I got HBO again because I have AT&T. And so I started watching it last year. And then, not last year, 2 years ago. And then I'm like, I started kind of getting into it, and I'm like, but wait, I'm going to stop watching this because it's going to take me 2 years before the final season comes out, and I'm going to rewatch the shit all over again.
Uh-huh.
So I stopped watching it. So earlier this year, over the holidays, I got pneumonia. So I was bedridden for almost 2 weeks. So I spent those 2 weeks binge watching the last seven seasons.
Wow.
Of Game of Thrones. So in answer to your question, yes, God damn it, I watched Game of Thrones. I'm handing in my, it's official, I am now handing in my black card. And
oh my God, Tracy.
Arya Stark is the baddest girl.
She is a badass.
I can, you know, Tracy, I can only think of what it's going to cost you from the IRS to hand in your black card, because, you know, there's heavy fees they impose for that kind of stuff, you know? Penalties, we're talking.
Yeah, see, no. Let's be clear about this. You can't do that, Tracy, because it is your job
I'm
to answer.
Black.
It's your job. Well, no, somebody's got to answer for Diamond and Silk.
Right.
I mean, you can't just leave me out here to handle the criminal tattoo artist who can't spell that word.
Right, and it's like it's official. I am corrupted. I've been putting mayonnaise on my sandwiches. I'm watching Game of Thrones. Speaking of mayonnaise, Bob, did you see that email? I mean that.
Yeah, I did. That. What a word that was.
Mayocella.
Mayocella.
Background on this, speaking of Netflix, has anybody watched Beyonce's Homecoming? And even if you're not a Beyonce fan, because I'm not, I have a newfound respect for Beyonce now that I've watched this, because I knew Beyonce was talented. I knew she had a hell of a work ethic and all that. But when I watched that documentary, oh my God, I'm like, I had to kind of bow down to, I'm like, oh shit, okay, she's bad. I'm beginning to understand, what's going on with her. Her setback last year at Coachella was a tribute to HBCUs. So she had a drum line, she had steppers. It was the most amazing thing ever. Like I said, even if you never listened to Beyonce, you must watch that documentary. So that was released on April 17th. So that was 2 weeks ago, basically, right? Mm. So on May 1st was the Billboard Music Awards, right? And the queen of appropriation, Taylor Swift, decided that she was going to do, she was going to perform at Billboard Music Awards. But what she did was an exact from the colors that Beyonce had to the drum line, to the marching band, an exact entrance, even to the way Beyonce posed when she came out on stage. Here comes the white girl. So, of course, Black Twitter and The Root lost their collective shit.
Yes.
And came for Taylor Swift. When Beyonce's performance was so bad, was so off the chain, off the hook, the shit performance at Coachella last year, that they renamed Coachella Bay-chella. That's just how bad it was, okay? So then when Taylor Swift comes on stage, basically 2 weeks to the day that Homecoming came out, and she did this, they went crazy, and they dubbed her performance Mayocella.
What a word. What a great word. And
Mayocella, come on.
Yeah, I learned I learned a new word the other day, also in regard to Taylor Swift. Jesus Christ, I can't believe we'd be better off talking about Shiny Heine. Honest to God, we would.
We would.
Before I go any further,
I got good talking about Shiny Heine. Believe you me, Bob.
I got some good news. Alma jumped in and said, "This is for all the people I love on Head On Radio," and so now we are down to 235. And we've got an hour to do $235 so that we won't have a $500 fundraising goal or something like that come Monday. So thank you very kindly, Alma. And hopefully some other folks will jump in alongside you and we'll get there. By the way, Darlene in Connecticut says, I want to see that Beyonce documentary. It sounds fascinating. And says, Tracy, you should check out the skits with Seth Meyers watching Game of Thrones with Leslie Jones. They're a real treat and hilarious.
And
Robert in Australia says, "Hey, easy with the spoilers. I'm waiting till the damn thing's over to watch the whole thing."
But see, I didn't give any spoilers.
No, you didn't. No. That was just a request. You didn't spoil. Okay. No, that was just a request.
Well, because that's why I said I own the, and we all know, Arya Stark is a badass.
Yeah.
And
I think over on the stress line we may have Todd.
Uh-oh. Hey, how's everybody doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Good.
Hey, Todd, what's up?
When I heard Tracy,
brother Todd, what's up, brother?
Oh my God, Yo, Steve, I just have one more thing to add, man. What has that been doing to you lately? I'm sorry,
because if I don't say it now, I've been trying to remember to say this for a week. If I don't say it, I'm going to forget again. Remember when we were talking about gentrification and how, you know, we know it's over in a black neighborhood when white people are around walking their dogs?
Yep.
Well, here's another one. And I think I might have sent this to you, Bob. So we all know what's happening in, you know, gentrification is terrible everywhere, but probably nowhere worse than in Washington, D.C., which used to be dubbed Chocolate City back in the day. The colonizers are there, too, trying to tear up one of our most famous HBCUs, Howard University. So the colonizers are out walking their dogs on the campus of Howard University, y'all. Yes, they are. And not only are they walking their dogs on Howard on the campus, they're not curbing their dogs. They're not picking up the shit after their dogs.
Oh, no.
They are letting dogs pee and shit on hollow ground where only people that the only time you walk on these grounds are for special occasions, such as, you know, commencement and shit like
that. Cannabis did it.
They should fucking close that. They should fence it off so they can't, those assholes can't walk their dogs there, Tracy.
And so it's pissing me off because I'm thinking now, what would happen if people started walking across the campuses of, I don't know, Princeton? Yale, Harvard,
Liberty University, pissed all over that.
Oh yeah, Liberty. You're pissing shit all over that fucking place.
It was an old mound.
How about black folks walking to Liberty University with guns strapped around their necks? Yes, you know, like high-powered rifles
Black
or something,
Panther.
Huh?
You know, yeah, but, going to the church. Right,
yeah.
Here's the insult to injury. There's a white guy, and I forget what they pegged him. That was interviewed about the situation, and he's like, well, if they don't like it, they can move. So his solution, we're talking about taking a university that's been there since, I don't know, 1867, and if you don't like it, just move. Okay, I'm done. So I just had to get that out because we have talked about gentrification and we have talked about white people.
Tracy, can you hear me?
Hey, Baba, I just wanted to
Walking dogs, and we talked about Beyonce and HBCUs and Taylor Swift fighting shit. So I'm good. I've come full circle.
Hey, Tracy, I just wanted to one thing on top of what you said. I'm guessing that Taylor Swift's choreographer must have been spending a lot of time with Melania's speechwriters.
Oh, wait a minute.
Cowbell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's cowbell.
Cowbell.
Yep.
Cowbell. Yes. Who said that?
That was Chris.
Chris.
Tracy, can you hear me?
Yes, baby. Who am I saying?
Can
I? Hey, Todd. See, I cannot, you know, I'm so riled up. I don't get people's voices. Hey, babies.
Yeah, you're a little bit on the 101 octane. That's okay, though. But listen, it's about the cannabis. D.C., you see, D.C. is like the Amsterdam of the East Coast now. You know, there was a wonderful article in the Washington Post. Like Airbnbs, they have like, you know, cannabis-friendly places where you can stay in D.C. because, you know, the Congress people, they look out for themselves. That's all I'm going to say. You know, you're allowed to cultivate, consume, you know, I mean, my God. And then he has a good beer there. The beer, come on. You know, but anyway. But, yeah, I had to, you know, when I heard you talking about Black Friday, that, oh, my God. And it's not even like, it's called Black Friday, and it is not, like, Afrocentric or anything like that, even though there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, it's historical. That Don Cheadle is brilliant. This show will suck you in. You can't. It's like a show goes by. You're like, wait, I just got started. It's so rich. It is so rich. Oh my God, Netflix. I can't say enough about Netflix. Netflix, and you know, there's so much content where, you know, there's so much on there. Like, you know, I've heard people talk about Peaky Blinders. I think that's great, you know, but everyone has their taste. But I'm just saying, Black Friday, and, you know, they will pull something before you can see it. But, Tracy, back to the dog walking, don't you know that shit happened from my motherfucking house? It started last month with the dog walking. And do you know the property taxes? My taxes have gone up 13.2% every year for the past 2 or 3 years. That's a lot.
Because they're trying to price you out. They're trying to price you out.
Who gets 13.2% on money? If I have $5,000 or whatever and I put it in the bank, they might give me 0.5%, 2%, some bullshit. You know, what in the fuck? You know, that's what I'm saying.
Well, right, Todd, your city services have increased by that same percentage. Don't you know that?
Yeah, no.
Well, billable Rick, right. I'm so glad that you reminded me of that fact. Now, don't make me come over here and stake you on the behind.
Yeah, I saw a particularly disgusting example of that several years ago when I went to a seminar down in coastal Georgia, and African-American families who'd been living on those barrier islands for generations were being run off of them because... And they were being run off through the tax, by manipulation of taxation, because the resort developers, by God, wanted those islands. And it was sickening to behold. And of course, you know, because Georgia, and in your case, because South Carolina. I mean, it is what it is. I gotta send out thanks to Mike in Cascadia. Hey, Bob, Trump weariness, goddamn, thanks for your voice. And so we are now down to 220 to go. And that's awesome. That's 22 people at $10 bucks, and we're done. Yeah.
I'd like to make a challenge here.
Okay? All right, Bill.
I'm going to throw 20 in, and if it's matched, I'll make it a 40.
Okay, that would be huge. Okay. That would take us down to 160. So there's a $20 challenge on the table, courtesy of Billable Rick, and we'll knock some more of this out if it's met. That's awesome. Thank you, Rick. I've got a.
All right, I'm good at magic.
Oh, hey, Suman, cool. So
awesome. That was quick.
Okay, so now we're down to 160. 160, and Suman, I'm glad you're here because I didn't want you to think I didn't see your email. I did. It's disgusting. You want to tell the story?
Yeah, sure. I saw this notification pop up on my phone from this Apple News app, and it says that this company that this guy Peter Thiel, I think he's a Trump supporter from Silicon Valley, one of the few people who support him in Silicon Valley. He has a firm that is helping track down migrants who are applying for asylum so that ICE can separate them from their kids.
And this is Palantir, right?
This is Palantir. And what is even more disgusting, if that's even possible, is that they're using artificial intelligence and all these big data applications to run algorithms to figure out who these people are, and using all this information to just do these weird things like separating people from their families. What else can I say? It's ridiculous. It's stupid.
Well, I'd say it's evil too. And yeah, I'm pretty comfortable saying that Peter Thiel is pretty well evil. And the thing is, when I saw your email today, Suman, it got me to, there are multiple layers of this shit. For instance, I got a story in front of me right now from The Intercept. Homeland Security used a private intelligence firm to monitor family separation protests.
Oh, my God.
The DHS monitored protest groups on the ground. The Intercept got the documents from the American Immigration Council. They got it through a FOIA and Looking Glass Cyber Solutions. A private company with a contract with DHS harvested information on over 600 demonstrations across the country. And then they shared that with DHS, and DHS then farmed it out to local law enforcement. They tracked Facebook accounts. They went all the way down to physical locations where the demonstrations were planned. A high school in Sebring, Florida, a church in Carbondale, Illinois, U.S. Embassy in Mexico City, a Denny's in Carlsbad, California, the old Kmart parking lot in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, and then a threat analyst in Reston, Virginia, sent the intelligence to a Looking Glass shared services address. I mean, this, how, in a normal world, this is not acceptable and is arguably illegal. And then you add insult to injury. John Kelly. First he was Trump's DHS guy, then he was his chief of staff, and then he bugged out. Well, John Kelly has a new job. I don't know if y'all saw this one. John Kelly just got added to the board of an outfit called Caliburn Internation. That company just happens to run the largest for-profit concentration camp for children, unaccompanied.
Yes, you wonder if he really could on his own.
Government really does pay, doesn't it, Bob?
It beats working. Jeff Merkley of Oregon is pissed. He said it's indecent, it's immoral, it's corrupt. John Kelly drove Trump's child separation policy that inflicted trauma on thousands of children. Now he'll get paid to increase profits for Caliburn, the for-profit prison reaping mega millions, locking up migrant children. Elizabeth Warren is pissed. Julian Castro is pissed. Cory Booker is pissed. And they frankly do not care.
The perfect union of policy and money meets at the golden gates of corruption.
Well said, Clarity. That's not particularly funny, but we give out cowbells for clarity of thought, and that you double clarity.
I'm deeper than I used to be.
Cowbell for that too.
Yep, I think so.
Anyway, I was going to comment about calling D.C. the Amsterdam of the East Coast. I thought you could smell butt on every corner in New York City. And the idea of going to D.C. for a marijuana holiday just seems absurd to me. But I don't know. I guess it's close.
Yeah, I mean, none of my D.C. trips ever wind up being a party.
No. I mean, if I was going to take a Amsterdam type holiday, I would go to either Oaksterdam in East Bay, or I would go to Portland. Seattle has a thriving cannabis scene, and any major.
It's hopping in Boston now too, Clarity.
Well, that's right. Good because those Catholics need to mellow out.
Good. But how is this not different than the Gestapo? Can someone explain to me how all this is? It sounds like it's on.
Well, as we've learned, Chris, as long as you're not wearing uniforms that were designed by Hugo Boss and goose stepping, you can't possibly be a Nazi. Oh, and by the way, two Nazis were found guilty, pled guilty today. They're facing up to 5 years in prison. Benjamin Drake Daly and Michael Macellus, they entered guilty pleas for their role in the Unite the Right Nazi rally, you know, the one with the very fine Nazis in it.
Yeah.
Good.
Daly was a founder of the Rise Above movement, and Michael Macellus was a member. That latter guy, Macellus, was an aerospace engineer for Northrop Grumman.
Oh, my God. I just hope Trump paid their legal expenses, Bob.
Oh, right. That was a campaign promise.
Yeah.
I think I think the roots go back even further to the Inquisition. A lot of these strategies and organizations of divide and conquer are still going on. They just wear a different hat nowadays. But you see the vestiges of absolute conservatism, dominionism. You know, it's just attacking women, attacking feminine rights, women's rights over their body. That's no different than the Inquisition, you know, with the witch burnings and all these things. The attack on intellectuals. If, you know, at one time the church controlled all of the information, and now there's too much information getting out there, and so we have to have media that dumbs us down.
Fake news.
Yeah, and here's the thing about information, you know, here's the thing about data. A lot of us opt out of all these data sharing agreements or whatever, right? And we think we are protected. But I don't know how many of you guys know, but we're really not protected, because they don't need that. They don't have to identify you only by using your data. All they have to do is just find a couple of people like you, and by association, they can predict what you can do.
Yeah, like we're just a cluster.
So it is ridiculous. It just when I saw the story today morning, it was just disturbing, to say the least.
Oh, yeah.
Wait till 5G gets here.
Or 7G, or 9G. I went 10G. Jesus.
Well, a friend of mine was talking with his partner about an imaginary dog. And next time he was on Twitter, he was getting dog food ads.
How about that?
So they're listening, even, you know, just through your network ISP. They've got some.
Alexa's always listening.
Yeah. Alexa, go spit on the president.
Yeah. Okay. I won't have an Alexa, but in my home. But I've got a feeling it really doesn't matter, because everything is listening, everything is looking.
Yeah, if you got a camera, if you got a mic.
A long time ago, Agnes put tape over all the webcams on the laptops here.
Well, if I was as hot as your wife, I would too.
Yeah. There you go. I can attest to that.
How do we know that our TVs, especially the newer ones, the one made within the last year or so,
smart
how do
TVs.
We know they're not looking at us?
Oh, hell, I remember in the 80s, you know, when we were smoking dope. Yeah. There was this one guy who was convinced that his TV, he'd unplugged his TV because he was convinced that the government could watch you through the TV.
Well, that could come to fruition, you know?
During the campaign that the microwave was listening, was that Trump?
Yeah, oh yeah.
The microwave was,
yeah. Well, okay, here's an 80s blast from the past for you. Back when James Woods was actually a half-decent actor and not just some right-wing POS internet troll, who here recalls a movie called Videodrome?
The name sounds familiar, but I can't remember what.
Yeah, I recall the name.
Yeah, that's
great movie, Bob. Great movie.
Okay,
the
so you.
The TV is the retina of the mind's eye. It was his catchphrase, correct?
I do believe so. Yes.
Yeah, what an awesome movie! Somebody's backing up.
Back up.
That or the fries are up. I don't know.
Pull a basket.
Be sure it's not saturated fat, folks, the fries.
Hey, Bob, I saw a thing. I was on my way back from Knoxville today, and I looked at one of the newspapers there in one of the small little markets where I stopped to get a soft drink. And it said that one of the headlines on it was that the TVA has lost its automatic immunity. So it looks like if TVA starts screwing up things, they're going to have to pay for it rather than being immune from the messes that they make.
Oh, that could be interesting.
That's a good thing, right? Have they been making a lot of messes in Tennessee?
Oh, they got more messes than you can count.
I'm surprised they haven't always been held liable because of the, you know, to the extent that a company or a branch of the government's acting in a proprietary capacity, they generally are subject to torts that they cause. So, you know, and they act in a proprietary capacity, but perhaps the law had a carve out just for the TVA. I don't know.
Hey, I just saw something come up that the governor of Puerto Rico died.
Really?
Yeah. Died at 82 years old, I think it was.
Maybe former?
Well, maybe former. It didn't say former.
Yeah, I think the governor of Puerto Rico is a younger guy, like in his 40s. I was like thinking, geez, he's dead?
Be former then. Yeah, they're going to have 30 days of mourning, it said.
Oh, wow. Well, I wonder if the, you know, Benigno Cito Mussolini will be going there or whatever, you know?
Oh, I'm sure he's going to pay his respects there, yeah.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah, I because the governor, the governor, the governor is Ricky Rosselló, and he's 40. Okay, Rafael Hernandez Colon, former governor of Puerto Rico, dies at 82.
Yeah.
And the island was prosperous back then.
Yeah, before the big banks got a hold of their throats.
Yeah, basically.
Say, this is Irwin.
Hey, Irwin.
Hey, Irwin.
How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, yeah. I'm just using my phone. I don't know how good the microphone is on it, but...
Sound good.
Sounds great.
I had just a general question about... I know, you know, that Barr and Lindsey Graham, neither one of them read the Mueller report. One, Graham was ahead of a committee, and Mueller, of course, is are they just denying they read it so that they'll get out some way because they haven't read it? Or
they don't give a shit, Irwin. That's the thing. They're not extra. They don't care.
Yeah, Bill Barr was going to do what he was going to do. Regardless of what was between the four corners of the report.
Facts be damned.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody snubbing their nose at a bona fide subpoena before without having repercussions.
Oh, no. That's happened.
Okay, well, that's my... I'm not as well-learned as you are, Bob.
No. It's just that happened back during the Reign of Error, too, under Dim Leader.
Who ignored the subpoena under that?
I can't, off the top of my head, I can't recall, but I feel almost certain that it did.
There needs to be serious repercussions. We're going to set just a fucked up precedent that we won't be able to turn around. Everybody will just do what the fuck they want, which that seems like they're doing anyhow, you know?
Steve, it seems like every time we have a GOP president, we have all sorts of fucked up precedents that get set, you know, and nobody ever pays for it, you know?
And the executive branch grows in size that it was never meant to be in power.
My guess grows in size and in boldness, as well
the
as arrogance.
The Dead Bar didn't show up, and somebody else said this earlier, and I'm going to repeat it. They should have sent the sergeant of arms that
they
minute.
They still can.
Yeah, but they should have sent him that day instead of, oh, we're going to give him a few days and we want to negotiate. Fuck that.
Well, I had all this negotiation shit. I understand your spirit, Steve, but you know, before you can find somebody in contempt, you have to give them a chance to comply. So, okay, you failed to appear. Now we're going to issue a contempt citation. If you don't appear on this new date, then we're going to hold you in contempt. So it's a process. They've got to dot their I's and cross their T's.
When does he have till now, Rick? Middle of next week or something? It just seems like it's... keeps dragging on.
That's okay.
Man.
That's okay. You know, that's okay. Let him marinate in it a bit, you know? What the hell?
Well, and it might be beneficial to point out, if I may, that one of the problems with holding Barr in contempt, I mean, it's not really a problem, it's just a fact. You might recall that back during the Obama presidency, the maggots in the House held Eric Holder, the Attorney General, in contempt over their desire to have access to the Fast and Furious documents. So they'll just say, oh, both sides do it, and the multimillionaire for-profit media will equate these two things. And you know, all that, you know, both sides, both siderism, and it basically comes to nothing. And Bill Barr knows that.
How did Eric Holder not end up in contempt, or did they just threaten it and they didn't?
No, they held it. They held him in contempt.
So he didn't go to jail. So
no, he just ignored them because he's the attorney general.
Yeah, they said they wanted to negotiate with him, see if they could work something out.
Precisely.
That's chapped my ass. Negotiate how? The time for that is over. You're supposed to be here now. Well, it's just like if any of us were subpoenaed, we wouldn't get to negotiate.
Can I?
Well, perhaps I can negotiate with the commissioner of the jury in L.A. County and not show up for my jury.
Yeah,
think about that.
See how far that takes you, bro.
Yeah. It'll take me right to the Hooskow.
Right. Well, you know, I'm going to negotiate. I'm just going to write a letter to the traffic court judge and say, well, you know, we'll negotiate about the when I
I can't make it. I'm having a little financial trouble right now. So would you mind just giving me 2 or 3 weeks to see what we can put together over this?
You know, and then send a car to pick me up and I'll be sure to attend then.
Yeah, limo.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes,
sir. I can hear
you're
you.
Back.
Yeah, I was at Costco, so I apologize. Here's what I think we should do. In the same way, sorry about that, by the way. In the same way that McConnell crowed and pissed and moaned about name anything, and he does the exact opposite. He just doesn't care. I think the Democrats did. So what if Eric Holder did it? That was then. This is now.
Sure.
At what point do the Democrats start? And this all goes back to something Bob and I have said repeatedly. Again, it happened here first. The Democrats are continuing to bring, well, it's not as bad, but they're continuing to basically bring a butter knife to a machete fight.
Yeah, girl, right. Fucking spine, man.
Steve, like you said, if you have to be a hypocrite, how many millions of trillions of times have Republicans done hypocritical things and never, ever paid a price for it?
Politics is not about being nice. It's not about playing friendly. When are the Democrats going to realize this? And this notion, I mean, it's never been, politics has always been that way. It's just that Democrats used to be better at it. You think I don't even know who the AG was under LBJ. Do you think if that same thing happened, LBJ wouldn't hesitate, or that the Wait, let me step back. Think of a Speaker of the House.
But like
Sam Rayburn, Bob. Do you think Sam Rayburn would have thought twice about ordering the House cops to go get the guy, go get him, bring him here.
Yeah, and the reason that kind of stuff didn't go on is because they knew he would.
He knew he would.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, like you just said, the first couple times they did that, now with the Trump cabal, you know, they would probably continue to do it, but at least if the first couple times they did it, the Democrats did it, might make that son of a bitch think twice.
If you have a court order, or like Rick said, you go through the process, you put one foot in front of the other, and you actually bring some handcuffs to Mr.
But you don't
Barr,
need a court
and
order.
You grab him and you put him in jail.
Why do you need a court order?
Something.
Right. Thank you.
Steve,
he already violated his terms of the condition. He didn't show up.
Well, Congress has to have a formal vote to hold him in contempt, okay? So after the formal vote, then you send the sergeant of arms out.
But this is not a court-issued subpoena.
They adjourned that thing at 9:15, Rick.
Yeah,
why didn't they have the formal vote that fucking day, man?
Well, again, they're giving him a few days to marinate in his own stew and maybe change his thinking.
Yeah, Darlene just wrote in and said, Nadler is giving Barr until Monday to fork over the unredacted Mueller report, and in the letter he sent to Barr today, he's offering Barr several opportunities to cooperate. He ends off threatening contempt if Barr doesn't meet the committee halfway. So Billable's right. It's a process.
Yeah,
I prefer
that's right.
I prefer he get yanked out of the church He goes to church. They grab him in church and put the handcuffs on him and take him to the little jail.
It's my personality. I have the patience of a bull. I'm like Veruca Salt. I want it down. I was so pissed off when he didn't show off. I was like, go get this son of a bitch, you know? I know what they would do to me if I didn't show up, you know?
Yeah, you know, a minute ago it was, well, you know, I forget who said it, but yeah, you look at the judge and say, yeah, I'm having a little financial trouble right now. I need a couple or 3 weeks, and send a car. Well, the judge will say, yeah, we'll be happy to send a car. It's nice, and it's got pretty markings all over it, and lights that flash, and I will happily give you those couple of weeks too.
It's right. It's black and white.
We'll even provide wardrobe. It's orange.
And if you're really good, we'll stop at Burger King on the way.
Only if you're white, though.
You got a bologna sandwich waiting on you when you get there, you know? It's all going to be good.
Jeez.
Everyone's
frustrated. Yeah.
The other thing, too, Bob, and I think you kind of have gotten here, and I have almost reluctantly, is, and again, if I'm repeating shit you guys said earlier tonight, I apologize. I was not on board with impeachment because of the lack of we're not going to get a
Senate, right? Yeah.
Yeah. On the other hand,
Chinless Mitch is going to ditch it. Yeah. You know, it's not going to go anywhere.
Right. But on the other hand, I think things have reached such a dire
point, right?
Point that there is no other choice.
The frog can't take another temperature. I mean, we're there.
Yeah. We're there.
Yeah.
We're there. What else is there to do? And this, I just get, I'm so sick of the Democrats complete acting out of fear.
Well, the clock is ticking. And, you know, I was thinking maybe a couple of months ago that, hey, they're doing the right thing. They're being deliberate. They're putting one foot in front of the other. But now we're in May. We're in May now, and the clock's ticking, and maybe it's time to start getting all this stuff in motion. We need more people. Where the hell's Pruitt? I think I said it last week. Start frog marching these folks up to the Hill to testify. All of them. DeVos. I want them all there. And I want them all on the record for all the horrible, shitty stuff they've done in their life.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And part of this administration, they all need to be on. It's all got to be in the record.
Rick and Steve, I'm sorry if I interrupt, but is this a legitimate concern of mine? If they keep slow walking this, by the time this thing works through the court, hell, Trump's term's going to be over.
Yeah.
Or renewed, unfortunately.
Or renewed, yeah. God, don't even
say you're dead on right.
Yeah.
Well, that's the strategy. I think looking back on this, Mueller was criticized for not subpoenaing Trump. But if he had subpoenaed Trump, he would have been able to drag it out well beyond, you know, to at least through the election. And at least now we have a report we can talk about as a talking point, if nothing else.
And
hopefully, we can get some of the other stuff going as well.
And I think that brings up another issue, Rick.
Yeah.
That really pisses me off again. All we heard was this. Wait till the Mueller report comes out. Wait till the Mueller report comes out. Wait till the Mueller report comes out. It's fucking out. Shit or get off the pot.
Like, we always got a fucking carrot dangling in front of our noses, and I'm
let me ask a question though. What if, as I saw one so-called pundit or expert say today, what if Mueller comes in to testify and straight up says, "Yeah, Donald Trump obstructed justice." Because he cites 10 instances where he did, it's just that Mueller was too timid to bring the heat.
I would probably fall down. I ain't heard Mueller say peep.
Bob, that's clearly not out of the range of possibility, because I think he does think Trump obstructed justice, and there's a couple of points in that report where it appears that the only reason he didn't make a decision on obstruction was because of the office legal counsel advisement that a sitting president cannot be indicted. So there's going to be questions like, okay, let's assume that there is no OLC precedent out there, an OLC opinion out there. Would you have recommended indictment for obstruction of justice of the president? And he's got to answer that question, yes, based on what's in his report, the 10 instances of obstruction, the overt acts. Don't you think so?
Well, yeah, I mean, and granted, I don't think anybody's going to do it, but it almost sounded like they were getting close to it the other day with Barr. I mean, why not just paint one of those law school hypotheticals that is, you know, broad and easy to grasp and ask,
right,
Mr. Mueller, if a bunch of FBI agents witnessed Donald Trump murder somebody in Lafayette Park in cold blood, and it was captured on video and audio, and 25 FBI agents and 50 Secret Service agents all saw it happen in real time, are you of the opinion that the President of the United States could not be indicted for that?
He'd hem and haw, Bob, and he'd say, what do you mean by real time? And then he'd find another term.
Oh, I know.
I don't think Mueller would hem and haw.
I think
Barr would hem and haw.
Yeah, Barr, Barr said, well, I'm struggling with the word suggest.
Suggest, right. It's like Clint.
Jesus Christ.
You know? Suggest.
It's like you almost have to have a fucking Oxford dictionary right there in the hearing room to like look up words, you know.
Well, yeah, and like I said at the time, if he'd had jumper cables attached to his scrotum and his nipples, he would have been dancing on the fucking ceiling when the minute he said I'm struggling with suggest, the polygraph would have started smoking and he would have started flying.
He would have looked like Chicken George and Roots. Is that okay, Tracy?
He wasn't struggling, Bob. He was grappling.
Ah, yes, he was grappling. He was grappling.
Chicken George, what?
Good word.
Do you remember Roots?
Chicken George.
Chicken George character
played by Ben, what's his name?
I didn't say it, Rick did.
He was a dancer.
I'm not, well, yeah.
He was a minstrel
who
dancer,
said
Tracy.
Chicken George, and why were we talking about Chicken George?
Because under my scenario, Tracy, Rick said he would, when the polygraph started smoking and the diehard battery started charging, that Bill Barr would have been dancing like Chicken George.
Oh, okay.
Okay, could we have just said Ben Vereen? I'm sorry.
Ben Vereen, okay.
Well, I think...
That's right.
But Chicken George is good because they did call him a chicken, so okay.
Right, he's Chicken Bill.
Yeah.
He's Chicken Bill.
Chicken Bill, there you go.
He is the Pullet Poltroon.
Yeah, is my buddy Todd still out there on the stress line?
No, Todd bailed out.
Oh, I thought I heard him in there, but my gosh, Washington Journal, man, it's been off the hook.
Mentioned that, wow.
Full of goons. I mean, I'm getting to the point where I can't even listen to it anymore.
It's Brown
It's Brown Shirt City. Yeah, they are still backing this son of a bitch. Knowing what we know, they don't care. They don't care.
Alternative facts, Steve.
It's amazing.
Alternative universe.
But I was going to say, like, when it's all said and done, let's say Mueller comes up there and you have a couple of days of hearings and all these hypotheticals are drawn out and finally he says, the answer to that question, would you indict if not for that stupid fucking rule? The answer is yes. Then Mueller, on his way out the door, would say, okay, do your fucking job now. Because what I've laid out for you in my 400-plus pages is this is Congress's job, right? And he could just walk out and say, do your fucking job now, okay? Right?
Well, he could. I don't know if he used that word, but yeah, do your damn job, Congress. You know, you got a roadmap for prosecution.
I don't care if they drop it.
You know, or roadmap for impeachment. You tag, you're it.
Exactly.
Oh, and by the way, news. One story I just saw from a couple of hours back today. And hey, we got 20 minutes to go in the program. And $175 to knock out to get even, stay even for the early part of the month of May. So that's there. Oh, I got a note. I got a lovely note from Lady B. This is for clarity. Welcome, Clarity. You sound great, girl. We all love you, and congrats again for getting your body to accept what your heart and hormones always knew. Welcome to the Sister Friends of the Horn. So, I thought that needed to
be. Clarity's good people, man.
Oh, she's wonderful, folks.
That means a lot to me, and I love you guys coast to coast and up and down.
Back at you, brother.
Sister.
Sister, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Never.
I'm always getting hit with semantics. Now I'm, you know?
Yeah, sister.
Back at you, sister. You know what I meant.
I know.
I got love for you, man. You
a
know
slip that. Of the tongue in the wrong place.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Wait a minute.
That can be dangerous, actually.
Yeah, well, Karen likes it when that happens, but well, never mind.
Oh, Jesus.
Here we go. It's 8:40 and none.
Yeah, and by the way, Darlene said of Mueller that he'd say he's not going to speculate, and that'll be his out. But that's the problem. It's a hypothetical. It's not speculating. I mean, it just.
You could change the hypothetical to, you know, if Trump shot someone on Fifth Avenue, like he said during his campaign.
By the way, going back to the conversation you and I had, Rick, about the Deutsche Bank Capital One case, who's in your pocket?
Oh, yeah.
Today, lawyers for the venereal Vespasian did file for a preliminary injunction to block the banks from handing over financial records.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they did. He's fighting it tooth and nail. What's he got to hide? And what's wrong with these right-wing assholes that they can't ask themselves? What the fuck is he hiding?
Well, no, within a few days, because everything. A preliminary injunction is usually filed on an expedited matter. So
right.
Briefings, the other side probably has like a couple of days to respond, and then there's a hearing. So we'll probably know by next week what the decision on the preliminary injunction is.
But they are so dug in, they're just snubbing their nose at the obvious.
Well, one thing that he's got to hide is the fact that Deutsche Bank has seen his taxes.
That's it.
They saw his taxes.
That's it. And they said they would release them.
When he set up or negotiated a new finance deal with between the Trump Organization and Deutsche Bank in 2012.
Exactly. Bingo, bingo, bingo.
It was a reboot of the previous banking relationship. And it had gone shitty during the Bush financial meltdown. And so the people who put together or who examined that request for funds, and for all we know, that may include former Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy's kid. In the report in Bloomberg News, they say that a number of Deutsche Bank employees had access to his taxes.
Mr. Bob, the emoluments clause got authorization to proceed on Thursday.
It's moving. It absolutely is. And so all of these things are sort of swirling around. And then today, the business with Putin. I've got a clip here. Adam Schiff, by the way, Adam Schiff has said that call betrayed our national security. And it probably did. Once again, he betrays our national security, and for what? Nothing more than his own vanity and delusion. So some reporter asked him about it today, and of course he didn't like being asked a question about it, and engaged in his usual deflection tactic of being an ass.
Did you address the election meddling issues that came up in the Mueller report with Mr. Putin today?
Well, we discussed that he actually sort of smiled when he said something to the effect that it started off as a mountain, and it ended up being a mouse, But he knew that because he knew there was no collusion whatsoever. Pretty much that's what it was.
Did you tell him not to meddle, Mr. President? Did you tell him not to meddle in the next election?
Excuse me. I'm answering this question. You are very rude. So we had a good conversation about many different things. Okay?
Did you ask him not to meddle in the next election?
We didn't discuss that. Really, we didn't discuss it. We discussed five or six things.
Okay, Bob, I have something that jumped out at me at that. I didn't hear it the first time I heard that clip.
Yeah.
How would Putin have known there was no collusion between the Trump campaign and Russian or Russians?
Well, he kind of gave himself away again. And a halfway decent cross-examination would either give this fucker a stroke or collapse him in a heap. And the other thing was... he kind of smiled when he said it. How do you know he smiled, dumbass? Were you on FaceTime? Were you on Facebook Messenger there, Donnie? He smiled? Really? He smiled.
Hey, Bob, just so you know, I threw in an extra 10 for tonight. Plus, I made good on the 25 the other night. I didn't get a chance to throw it in yet. So you could reduce it by 10, the total... owing.
That's awesome. Thanks,
thank you, Bill sure. Rick. Thanks a ton. And so that makes it one. That actually Rich, makes it 165.
Reminds me, hey Rick, guess what? You know, I'm going to see Tom Jones. Did I tell you Sunday?
Oh, I knew you were going to see him. I didn't know when that was.
You
That's
talked
great.
Me out of Gordon Lightfoot. I mean, you were right. He was just too far over the hill, man.
Yeah, well, 80 years old. That's pushing it.
But Tom must work out or something because he still looks and sounds fairly strong.
Well,
he'll get enough backup band to lift him up.
Yeah. Well, you know, I shouldn't diss 80-year-olds because I mean, some of our candidates on the Democratic side are going to be that old in their first term.
Poor old Gordon was trying to do it by himself, you know.
But you know, Tony Bennett is in his 90s and still sounds fantastic. So it depends on the individual.
I'll let you all know. Bob,
give us a review.
Real time, yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that'll be neat. Hey, I just got a nice note from Kyle. I was listening to the show tonight, and so I just wanted to send along a big congrats and much love to Clarity for living her life as who she really is. Much love and support, sister. Also, thank you for everything you do, Bob. There's a missing word here. Let's say you've been a haven of reason in these insane times of the orange asshole. Thank you, Kyle. That's just kind all the way around. Thank you very much indeed. Jenny, writing from Wisconsin, it's great to hear everybody. Jenny just got home from work, tuning in. Hello, Horn family. Hi, Jenny. Maybe next time you can jump into the group when you...
Hi, Jenny.
And meanwhile, Jude, corruption at its absolute worst. Top Democrats destroy John Kelly for profiting from your own cruel policies. And Jude says simply, my God, the children. And as noted last night, we killed another one. That's three Guatemalan kids. At this point in time, is somebody painting little Guatemalan babies on the Oval Office desk or something? Are they keeping a tally? Is it just one, two, three, four stroke?
Have we no shame, sir? Jesus, man.
No, it's disgusting. I mean, history's going to look very unkindly on this.
And us, too, for not taking a stand and putting a stop to this shit, you know?
Yeah. Well, and climate change, too. I mean, that for so many reasons, this era that we're in right now, history's going to look very unkindly and... Okay, what did you folks do across the world? You voted in a whole bunch of fucking fascists all across the world?
I'm old and I'm sick. I don't feel good. But God damn it, that ain't no excuse. And now I need to get off my ass and do something. Something. If you do nothing, then you're part of the problem.
Well, I've heard it said that we need somebody like Anonymous. I think, Rick, you said it. We need somebody like Anonymous to step up to the plate and play defense in this next election. It's critical because the door's wide open, you know.
Yeah, well, I called it the Geek Squad or something like that.
Yeah.
I guess the Geek
yeah, that's
Squad
what,
Election
yeah.
Protection.
Of course, I mean nonviolent, in case Mr. G.I. Joe man is listening mm-hmm. out there. We all mean nonviolent.
Agent Fred, yes, that's P-H-R-E-D. Yes.
P-H-R-E-D, yep.
You'd think Agent Fred would have better things to do than to listen to this program for the last 13 years, you know, Bob, or whatever it's been?
He's single-minded, and sometimes I think Agent Fred might actually secretly agree.
And he's getting 90 grand a year, so just to listen to this program, I'd do it. Shit, I'd do it. I pay to listen to it, so.
But going back to what you guys were saying, as far as, I mean, we're in a pincher move against Trump, and he's really starting to feel that pinch. He's like, he's feeling like the Star Wars crew and the garbage compactor, you know, and except for those were good guys. He and his gang are a whole bunch of bad guys.
Indeed. Indeed. Damn good conversation this evening, everyone. You're all to be commended.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bob. You always knock it out of the parks. Jeez. This Friday's just like icing on the cake. It's just a treat, you know. It's just a treat.
Yeah, it is. It's been a great conversation, Bob, and you're always moving things along and moderating, and you know that's sort of what you do here on Friday, so that works really well.
Well, Bob has a unique talent that he can pull you through a conversation. And I've never met anybody like that before. You know, even if you're stumbling for words, he can pick you up and pull you through.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Yeah, you got that right.
I wonder if Geezer Disgustus is throwing a fit about the news out of England. You know, he's going to make a state visit to the UK next month. But he's not going, even though Ronald Reagan was invited to, even though George Bush was invited to, even though Barack Obama was invited to, he will not be invited to speak to Parliament.
Good.
Good. Excellent. He'll Twitter and have a little pissy fit.
The Speaker of the Commons, John Bercow, maybe Bercow, you know, 50-50 chance. Said back in 2017 he would oppose Trump speaking to Parliament. He said, "I feel very strongly that our opposition to racism and sexism and our support for equality before the law and an independent judiciary are hugely important considerations in the House of Commons." Bill Clinton, it was Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and Ronald Reagan all got to address Parliament. But they're not going to take the risk. They're not going to take the risk with the monomaniacal, not particularly screwed down Donald Trump.
Well, the Queen.
Didn't the balloon, the big balloon, start in London?
Yes. You mean baby, the Trump baby?
Trump they got to call that back out again for sure.
The Queen won't see him either, right?
No. The Queen will be receiving. It's a state visit.
Oh, she will. Oh, okay.
Last time she wore the dress that Obama gave her, right?
I think you're right, yeah.
So, Bob, are you saying that she almost has to, for protocol reasons, she almost has to see him?
Well, if it's a state visit, I mean, she is the... That's about the only job she has is ceremonial head of state.
If she snubbed his ass. I mean, I'm sorry for stepping on you, but what a statement that would be if she was to snub his ass. You know?
But because they have made it a state visit, I mean, if he was just flying over, she wouldn't say, you know, you can't just...
I think I'll drop in on Queenie.
you can't do that. But because it's a state visit, it's presupposed that yes, he will meet with Her Royal Ancient Highness.
I am not amused.
She could show her shiny hiney to him. Turn around, spoon him.
or just come down with a case of the shits or something. Sorry, dude.
We have the royal dribbles.
Hey,
we have the trunks.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me? I'm trying to talk kind of low because I'm on the bus.
Yeah, you're fine, dude.
Yeah, I have to confess. I don't know if I've ever let this known to people. I'm actually a monarchist. I think we should scrap the Constitution and have a constitutional monarchy. So I'm a bit of a fan of Her Majesty. That's cool. Yeah, I've talked to a number of people about her who are from the UK, and the one thing she's very good at is throwing shade.
Yes.
So I wouldn't just make sure you watch what she wears, what she says, how she says it, because I had, when he went over there just to visit, I had read a number of things that said there was no accident that she wore blue.
So her body language was speaking volumes.
Clothing and all this kind of stuff. She wore blue for a reason when he went to visit.
Maybe they'll serve him, one of those classic English roasts and make it nice and rare, since they know that he likes his steak burnt to a cinder.
You know what they'll do?
Just a pig's head, in Victorian days. That'd be hilarious, man.
So what she'll do is in her speech, she'll say, everyone's having steak, and for you, Mr. President, we've ordered in hamburgers from McDonald's.
And Kentucky Fried Chicken as well.
Kentucky Fried Chicken. And you can have all the Diet Coke you want.
You know, can't you just see him putting Yorkshire pudding in front of him and saying, oh, this doesn't taste anything like pudding to me. I get two chocolate puddings at lunch every day, and this is definitely not pudding.
Or having him, if they serve steak, having him ask for ketchup.
Oh, no, they just bring him the damn ketchup to let him know that they know what a Philistine he is.
Can I just tell you, what a wretched, disgusting, putrid, fucking gross individual.
Every morning I wake up and I still can't believe it.
Don't help back, Steve. Fuck, I don't.
Oh, my God.
Live.
I mean,
wretched.
My mom,
that's a great word, Steve. That is wretched.
Yeah.
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 And my mother's a chimpanzee, which. I mean, we stopped talking for about it. Well, we stopped. I haven't seen my mom in 7 or 8, 9 years. But we stopped talking. I wouldn't talk to her. I have relatives of mine who voted for him. I will not. I told them. I said I will not speak to you again until you apologize to me.
I'm my mother's son, and you know I moved to Portland to help care for her, and we had to suffer through this together when neither of us could believe. And she was diagnosed with MSA.
I'm in it with you, bro. My mom has dementia. She's in an assisted living facility and has been for the last 5 years. So I know it hurts.
And it was shortly thereafter that Trump was elected president. Neither one of us could believe it. And it's just, I'm really glad that I got to, you know, we got to share this suffering a little bit of both the disease and this Trump pansy, because I felt like not only was my mother dying, but my country too at the same time. And it's, you know,
I'm sorry you had to go through that, man.
It's dreadful.
Well, that will be the last word of this Friday on the front porch. If y'all want to stick around and talk in the group, that's cool. But
thanks,
I've got to shut down the program and do the podcast and stuff. Now, Darlene gets the last word. Subject line: The Queen wore blue and the brooch that Obama gifted her when Trump made his first visit to the UK on his way to sell out the country. Sell out his country in Helsinki. So that's what that was. Okay, yeah, the brooch and the dress. Yeah. Thanks for a great conversation. Thanks for taking down the fundraising goal by almost half. We got 165 to go. Hopefully, maybe some folks in the overnight crowd or the over the weekend crowd will notice that, and maybe we'll get it knocked out so that we'll just have a regular, you know, just a regular Monday come Monday. It's going to probably rain all weekend here. Yeah, black stag, not full friends of locking. So I'm getting, I'm getting grill crazy, and I can't, it, you know, it's just hard to do grilling in the rain. Maybe I need to get, like, one of those, you know, just the roof thing, and that might help. I don't know. But anyway, I look forward to being here for more on Monday. Thanks, everybody, for keeping the program on the air. Thanks to everybody who jumped in this evening. Thanks so very much. Believe you me, we operate on a shoestring here. We really, really do. And everything matters and everything counts. Maybe consider, if you never have before, maybe consider being a subscriber, either through PayPal or Patreon. Remember, when you subscribe at $10 a month, we're talking about less than 15 cents an hour for the programming. And, you know, don't anybody do it who can't afford it. Don't hurt yourself doing it. But, you know, if you got less than 45 cents a day, jump in at $10. If we had, you know, another, well, what it works out to, we need 20 subscribers a day. Like today we got 4. There are 4 people on the third of the month. It's not much. And what you're doing is you're making this possible for everybody else. It's truly a community effort, and that's why I always thank everyone who keeps this community going. And thank all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program, however you so do. And thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks this evening, Steve from Steve and Georgia Stan. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you to John Fox in Australia, to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for environmental justice and human rights in Appalachia. If you go to my Twitter feed, you'll see I retweeted something from Coal River Mountain Watch. They're pursuing a grant for the Tadpole Project. And you can vote on every platform, you can vote on every device, you can vote on every browser. And if we got a whole bunch of people voting that way, and you'll find it also linked on my Facebook page, then that would be a big shot in the arm for Coal River Mountain Watch's work in terms of trying to restore some of the and fix some of the damage that's already been done. So thanks in advance. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.